much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
ETA, 2 minutes, let's focus, people! Can we move a little faster? Not seeing a lot of people on their toes.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
The International Astronomical Union said in 2006 that this object was really part of the Kuiper Belt, not a true planet. Michael, what is Pluto?
Yeah. Why is being so stupid? Why is being so gay? English up the effort. And we die today. Hey!
This cartoon character debuted in 1930, the same year the object he shares a name with was discovered.
Thanks a lot, Bean, you asshole. You.
And now,
lawmakers in Tennessee have proposed a law aimed at preventing pedophiles from operating ice cream trucks. Not fair, said kids who will now have to pay for their ice cream.
Our feature presentation.
See?
What's up? See, because they used to have a trade deal.
Do a trade-up.
Right. Yeah. Not anymore. I love that Seth Meyers, by the way, on SNL. His weekend update is always worth watching. Hey, party people, it is now Tuesday. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Phone lines are open, but apparently either not working or no one's listening. I can't tell, but we are taking your phone calls.
Finally lost the last of them.
Oh,
so what's the point of doing the show if no one's out there?
It's so much of more of a relief not having to worry about having an audience out there when we're doing
that's
our
show. That's true. We can just do whatever.
Exactly.
Not
now
even
it's about
worry
us.
About it.
Now it's a show for us. So coming up next, Eddie Money will be stopping by to talk about
really?
Pluto and Broadway plays and bodybuilding.
And then you'll interview some playmates who have absolutely nothing to say but look really good.
Listen where
wait,
you go.
Wait, we really already
wow.
do that.
Oh, wow.
First place, real bitter, party of one, your table's ready. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's the,
yeah, we
that's
don't
the worst,
do this show for us.
That's the worst thing in the world, having hot chicks on. You're right, Lisa. That would be a disaster.
Yeah.
Maybe now we're just doing the program for archive purposes, just for history, for history's sake, so they can go back in 100 years and see what we were doing
we
back
are.
In.
We are radio's time machine.
That's
okay. Well, now they're rubbing right. Hey, I want to thank all the Kevin and Bean listeners, by the way, before we get to your calls, 1-800-520-1067, who have really taken to, I know you guys abuse me on it, but they've really taken to Death Corner. They really seem to be enjoying Bean's Death Corner every morning about this time. And they're just sending me some fantastic stories. I mean, I think I may have been missing some death prior to now. Because
oh, no.
I'm seeing stuff I wouldn't have ordinarily seen at this point. Now, this one hasn't turned into death yet, but I do love it anyway. A 15-year-old boy impaled by a javelin yesterday in Pomona, California. But it's interesting the way it happened.
He was catching in the sport of javelin?
He was throwing.
Oh, what?
He was throwing the javelin. He threw it into a field. It stuck into the ground far away from him. Everybody was safe. Then he ran out to retrieve it and tripped. And the javelin entered near his hip and came out through his butt. He fell onto a javelin that was stuck in the ground.
Well, isn't the point of the javelin in the ground at this point?
That must have made it hurt a lot more, by the way.
So
I can't even
the blunt
imagine.
End of the javelin
yes.
was thrust
yes.
through his body.
That's the way it sounds like, according to this article. Yeah.
Well, this is Darwin's theory of evolution at work, right? If you're so clumsy that you run towards a pointed stick, fall upon it, and have it impaled through your body, then you got to go. We don't have any room for you in the tribe.
He tripped and fell into the javelin. It entered near his hip and came out through his butt.
Wow.
You don't listen to me.
Hey, Gene Simmons just stopped.
Simmons from Kiss?
What? Entering, it's weird to see him up this early.
Can't imagine why.
Speaking of entering near the hips, coming out near the rear end.
All right,
Gene.
So anyway, it's not quite death quarter, but it's just awesome enough that I enjoy it, and I'm happy to share it with you.
All right.
1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number. Get on the air, get a prize. We'll find out what it is and get to the calls right now with Kevin. What did you get?
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Oh, look, it's a Kevin and Bean t-shirt. Aww. That's your prize for being on the air with us.
Just in time for summer, a delicious, comfortable, mostly cotton Kevin and Bean t-shirt. It's good looking, and it's also comfortable.
Well, I hope we actually have them.
We don't have any.
Let's try Sean. Sean is on line one, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Sean, thanks for calling. What it do?
What did you do, baby boo?
What it do?
Okay, this is why baseball is not a sport. This is for Kevin.
Okay.
All right. Yesterday on Yahoo News, I was looking, and they have video of an announcer that fell asleep, and they were trying to wake up in the middle of a game.
The announcer fell asleep during a game.
Well, he was the color guy. It was Keith Hernandez, the former Mets great, who fell asleep in the booth in the 10th inning of his game on Sunday night. Yeah.
Look, that's baseball in a nutshell right there. Even the freaking people get paid to watch it can't stay awake long enough to see it.
What about the story of the people who are paid to play it falling asleep on the bench? Bean, do you hear about that?
About Ken Griffey Jr.?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Really?
There you go. Look. More proof. Baseball blows. It is boring as hell.
Thank you for the call, Sean. We appreciate it. Ken Griffey Jr., who is perhaps the most popular baseball player in the history of the Seattle Mariners, is 40 years old. And he doesn't sleep well at home, apparently. And sometimes during the game, because he's designated hitter. So sometimes he's not out on the field every inning. So sometimes during the game, he'll go into the clubhouse and lay down.
Well, there you go.
And they thought about putting him in the other day, and they went to look for him, and he was sound asleep. And they thought, we don't want to wake up the old man and send him out there. So I think the talk is that he's going to be released this month, probably.
Any sport that you can sleep through during the sport isn't a sport.
It is a sport because he's not playing. It's not like he fell asleep in the field of play.
He's a player. He's a player, right?
Right. Yeah, but he wasn't.
When Sidney Crosby isn't on the ice, when he's on the bench waiting to go in for a shift, he's not napping.
Well, you bring up a good point, but you can't really compare because pitchers and designated hitters don't always play.
Any sport that has a bogus role where you don't always play is not a sport then.
I'm just saying, there's packages where...
I've never seen a kicker on the sidelines of a football game fall asleep, Mike. Never. They don't play all the time either. Not once, ever.
No, but a potential for a kicker to get into the game as opposed to a guy who just pitched in the rotation and is definitely not going to get in the game it's not really comparable.
He should stay home then.
Okay.
Like everyone right. should when
Let's
it comes to baseball.
Let's take one more. Mike has a Javelin update for us on line three.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi, Mike.
Good. What's going on?
Hey, you know that show 1,000 Ways to Die?
Yeah.
It's Bean's favorite show.
Love it.
Well, they actually had an actual scenario where a coach was running out after one of his students had threw a javelin. They went out to go measure it. He ran out there, and the javelin actually penetrated his eye and stabbed him to death.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Yeah,
that's a bad way
to
go.
You know how we solved two problems? How we killed two birds with one stone? Introduce javelins into baseball. During the game, just randomly throw javelins onto the field. I bet you a lot of players would not sleep if they knew a javelin could come plummeting down from the high deck of the stands.
I'm a big baseball fan, and I have to say, I think baseball would be a lot more interesting if there was javelins instead of balls.
I love it.
I would watch that as well, actually, come to think of it. You need a lot of new players, though, it seems like.
That's all right.
High turnover rate.
Got plenty of people.
Thank you very much for the call. Why not take Gilbert, too? He's on line, too, while we're talking sports last night. Gilbert sounds very excited. Hey, Gilbert, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
Hey, how you doing? What it do?
What it do, Gilbert?
What it do?
It's calling to get mad props for the Lakers last night. Smash down on the Jazz.
All right, mad props.
And we're going to smash down on the Phoenix Suns to win the championship.
Los Suns!
Now, you got to go through the Suns and then someone else to win the championship, so you're not quite there yet. But what's the matchup like with the Suns, Mike? How do you feel about that?
Look, the Suns
have done pretty well against
the Lakers
this season.
The Suns have never been playing better, that's for sure, than they have right now. I worry that the Lakers will try to get into a three-point shooting contest with that team, and that's a bad idea. But even more so than the Utah Jazz, who they absolutely obliterated, I feel like the Lakers are just they're so much taller and bigger down near the basket that they should handle the Suns.
Is it too early for you yet to look ahead? I know you're never supposed to look past the next series, but you have to be impressed with what Orlando has been doing. I mean, it's been unbelievable the way they decimated in their series.
Yeah, I mean, everybody always talks LeBron, and Cleveland, but it really, if you're looking at the team that's most dangerous out of the East, you have to think that it's Orlando right now.
Didn't they beat Atlanta by like 90 points over the course of their four games or something? It was just crazy.
Really, anyway, I was really disappointed with what Atlanta did because not only did they get destroyed, but it looked like they just didn't want to be there. I mean, it was it was an embarrassment to that organization, I think.
It was horrible. Yeah, exactly. All right, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Thanks to everybody. And please enjoy those Kevin and Bean t-shirts. If you actually get them, let us know because we haven't seen one since 1999.
Yes.
Big program today, though. I think you guys will agree. Psycho Body is going to make an appearance. It's been a while since we've done that, but this
don't
is
eat
the
anything.
Time.
Work out with everything.
The plan. This is the time of year where people start to look at the calendar and go, "Oh my God, it's Memorial Day in 2 weeks. That means summer's here." Look at this body.
I saw myself in the mirror for the first time in months the other day. It's not pretty. It's pale. It's pale and doughy.
You're going to listen to Mike?
I'm not going to listen to Mike. Oh, okay. No, I'm just saying. It's depressing. It's a depressing time of year. If you know your legs are going to be seen at any time. Right. My legs haven't seen sun in a year and a half.
Yeah.
I look like a ghost.
That's rough.
Plus, you've got the always exciting hospital tan going on, too.
Yeah. Well, nothing like those fluorescent lights in the NICU to give you a nice, healthy glow.
You got that. So anyway, Psycho Mike will answer all your questions on some fitness tips for summer coming up. Video Vault today, if we have time, we're looking forward to it.
If we have time, you better make time, mother effort.
Troll 2, can it possibly be the worst movie ever made? Because there's a lot of competition for that.
Son, you have no idea. Unless you've seen it, you have no idea. I watched it again last night. It is so spectacular. It fails on every level. And rarely can a movie say that. That on an acting standpoint, from the writing, from the music, from the direction, it is an utter and complete failure, and it makes it magical.
A lot of times you'll go see a movie, even a big budget movie with name directors and actors in it, and you'll go, how could nobody on the set have stopped and said, look, this sucks. We need to change this before we go on. Yeah. And a movie like that, though, it sounds like nobody, I mean, every single person involved with that movie was asleep at the wheel, it sounds like.
Well, the two people responsible for it, a husband and wife team of director and writer from Italy, felt very strongly about this film. And luckily, the script reads like someone whose English is a second language. You can hear people deliver dialogue as if it's being translated by Berlitz. It's spectacular.
I can't wait it. We're going to talk about a new video that a listener in Thailand sent to me yesterday about the Ladyboy pageant. It's not called that, but that's what it is. It's transsexual beauty pageant. Mm. And I'm telling you what, if these girls are guys, then color me gay. You're not going to believe this video.
I'll get my crayons.
And we will discuss. That is coming up on the program. And we're going to talk to the genius behind the new single from Wing today. Stop the Nonsense is what it's called. No idea what she's saying, but maybe the producer of the track, Rappy McRapperson, can help decipher that one for us.
Is that song from the Ladyboy pageant? Was that part of the town?
It should have been.
I heard Stop Smoking Crack Inside the Shack.
I think that's what I heard as well.
Huh. Hmm. All right. We'll talk to
the Crack Shack here
in the morning. We'll talk to Rappy all about that coming up. And, of course, we'll continue to give you details on, a little show called The Weenie Roast. We'll continue to fill you in on everything you need to know about that if you missed the announcement yesterday. Plus, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat when we return right after this on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Tonight.
Perfect pitch, Ralph. Perfect pitch.
I'm pitchy, dog.
KROQ, it's the world famous K-Records 551. Hey, I almost forgot to mention Jon Favreau, director of Iron Man 2, joins us in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show to talk about just how gangsta he is, how unbelievably rich he must be at this point.
He is successful.
With the success of Iron Man 2. So that's on the way. Plus, we'll play some Dirty Heads, Blink 182, and Muse coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now, time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday. Here's Ralph.
Here's the thing about women.
Yeah.
And I say this as a generality. They can talk themselves into anything. God love them. Look, the majority of us would be very, very single if women didn't overlook huge amounts of facts about people and allowed themselves to believe.
Yeah.
They're way more forgiving than men are on every level.
The case in point. Here's a woman named Alicia Etheridge, okay? She is an entertainment manager. And one of her clients is a singer named Bobby Brown.
Okay.
The Bobby Brown?
The Bobby Brown.
Okay.
Bobby Brown pulls her up on stage in Jacksonville, Florida, Friday night, gets down on one knee and pulls out a ring.
Ugh.
And proposes. And Alicia Etheridge says, hell yes,
sign me up to marriage
with Bobby Brown.
No.
Does she not have a TV?
Oh, my God.
They've been together for 3 years and have a son, by the way. So I guess she was happy to get the ring.
He's a kid with everyone he's ever been with.
See, this is my point. If you were to look at Bobby Brown's track record, and being his girlfriend slash manager, she must know Bobby Brown pretty well.
Yeah.
If you looked at his track record, if you looked at his past on paper, how does anyone say, yeah, sign me up. I want to get involved in a legal, binding relationship with this dude.
Yeah, it's tough.
Women, hope springs eternal.
How do women who date Bobby Brown not use every kind of birth control they can think of?
He obviously has super sperm.
Yeah,
obviously.
He can power through it, Lisa.
I guess.
But
I don't know. That always baffles me.
Drug problems, everything else aside, it never ceases to amaze me. Well, women will... I mean, I'm telling you, Jesse James will find somebody in a heartbeat who wants to be
absolutely.
With him. Tiger Woods will find someone who wants to marry him. It goes on and on. Women have just blinders on when they
forget about those guys. What about Scott Peterson and Charles Manson, who get tons of love letters?
That is the ultimate example, I guess, of what I'm talking about. It's a phenomenon how women are forgiving and willing to overlook glaring problems in people's personalities.
Well, there is always someone to volunteer. That is for sure.
But guys are not that way.
Yeah.
If there was a girl who was who had Amy Winehouse, for example. Let's say Amy Winehouse comes into this room. There's not one of us, even if, let's say, she wasn't hideously ugly. But there's not one of us who would say, yeah, sign me up to marry that train wreck with her drug problems and her insanity and her drama and her knife wielding and her
yep, you're right. Women
no
have
guy,
this weird
no guy
romantic
would sign up for that.
Haze.
I mean, guys will bang anything, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But in terms of signing up for the long term, like in a marriage situation, no.
Now, Lisa,
well, listen, this woman isn't signing up for the long term
either. Well, she thinks she is.
Lisa, I'm just speculating here. Do you think it's like a fixer mentality? Like maybe women are more nurturing and they feel like, I can bring this guy along. I can bring him to the light.
Yeah, and there's probably some of the, he just hasn't met the right woman yet.
Yeah.
And I'm her. There's probably some of that as well.
Unbelievable.
And they do have a kid, so.
Congratulations, Bobby Brown and Alicia Etheridge. That's what I meant to say.
He he has something very strange and unique in that he has crack mouth. And he's actually has claims to have been sober for a while, and he's battled with sobriety. But he still has the uncontrollable twitchy mouth because he's actually smoked so much stimulants that he can't control it anymore. He's lost like that.
Yeah.
You know? And he talks
stop smoking crack.
Back in the party days, we used to call that chewing lettuce. Look at the guy's chewing lettuce over there. Just like a rabbit. Just the mouth's going all the time. And it's just, sad news. Larry King and Sean Southwick. Here's another example. Larry King, been married seven times. If he divorces
he's got a lot
broad,
of money, though.
If he divorces this broad, someone else will come along and say, no, eight is the magic number. Mm-hmm. Eight's the one that's going to work
absolutely.
For Larry. They're being very coy about their marital problems, but according to sources, they will most likely wind up heading to divorce court. Their lawyers have given them strict instructions to keep their mouths shut during all of this because no one wants to give up any ground when it comes to financial matters, etc. But there will be plenty to say after the relationship is over, claim some friends of the couple.
I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
This is coming out of the New York Post, so we may learn that Larry is doing more than just sleeping with her sister. As if
the only secret in this business is there's no secret.
Thank you, Larry.
Heidi Montag.
Yeah.
According to Star Magazine, now regrets having had so much plastic surgery.
That's a surprise.
Well, the problem is, according to Star Magazine, once again, she's in so much pain that she can't eat or kiss or talk without her jaw and face hurting.
Oh, wow.
Spencer's still? Happy.
It's not why her jaw hurts, by the way.
This surgery was 6 or 7 months ago.
Yeah.
She should certainly be further along in her recovery
apparently
than that.
She still has face pain. Hey, how did your face hurt? Because it's killing me! she had, she had her cheeks done and her jaw done and a bunch of other stuff. So I don't know how long it takes for that ache to go away. Her back apparently has developed serious problems and pain from her triple D implants.
Gee, what a shock.
Ralph, I don't know if you're aware of this or not because you don't watch The Hills, but you've heard that she wants to get bigger implants, but they're not legal in this country. Do you know why she wants to get bigger implants?
So that she will never sink at sea?
She wants H's because her name is Heidi. That's how she chose the size that she's shooting for.
H, my name is Heidi. Yeah, my boy's name is Spencer.
I mean, seriously, that's what she says. Yeah, I want to have H's because my name is Heidi. And Heidi starts with H. Well, that's the mentality that we're dealing with
here. We know she's
not smart. Is that so she'll remember what first letter her name starts with?
I don't know, but thank God she's not, you know, Yasmin or something. I mean, my God.
Alicia Silverstone in the news.
Yeah.
You rarely hear from her these days.
Mm-mm.
I always thought she was a pretty good actress. Then her career kind of went away. But she tells Star Magazine now that she has some time to herself, she's ready to be a mom. I've been wanting to have a baby since I was 2 years old, she says. Oh, that's kind of weird. I'm destined to be a mother. I can't wait to be pregnant. No word on whether she's dating anyone or not, but
I'd do her a favor.
You would? You're a sport.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Well, she's one of your people, you know. She's a hardcore vegan PETA.
Yeah.
Yep.
Super too hardcore active for in me. The animal rights world.
Don't hurt the bunnies kind of thing. So.
Right.
And usually I'm not behind remakes, but this one sounds very promising. There was a 1985 horror comedy classic film that I loved many years ago called Fright Night. It was about a teenage kid who finds out that his next-door neighbor is a vampire,
mm-hmm.
but no one believes him. So he goes and he hooks up with the local host of a horror movie, late-night horror movie show in his town, who turns out to be an actual vampire hunter. And together they take on this coven of vampires. It was very entertaining.
How did I miss that?
Chris Sarandon was in it, and Roddy McDowall. It was a great, great little film.
Cast.
Check it out if you get a chance. Anyway, they're remaking it. Hollywood Reporter says that Anton Yelchin, one of my favorite young actors, will be playing the teenager who lives next door to the leader of the vampires, who will be played by Colin Farrell.
Oh, wow.
And Toni Collette will be playing Anton's mom.
Good cast.
And in that film, the original, the head of the vampires tries to seduce this guy's mom and everything, which makes it even creepier. So looks like there's a lot of potential in that film. I'm looking forward to checking that out. Good news about a remake, which happens very rarely. Let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Corey Monteith, a very talented actor and singer over on Glee. He is 28 years old today. He plays the quarterback on that show. We had him on, I don't know, I guess it was when the show first started, but I remember him saying that he had never sung professionally before that show.
It's amazing. Every time I hear him, I think of that.
He's ridiculously talented.
Really good. Yeah. Really talented.
But he just sang really for the audition, basically. It was the first time he ever sang for anyone for any professional reason.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Unbelievable. Leticia Casta, supermodel. She's 32 years old today. Nikki Catt from Boiler Room. Other projects is 40 years old. Former MTV VJ Martha Quinn. Remember Martha Quinn?
Yeah.
She was one of the original five, wasn't she?
She sure was.
Yeah. She is 51 years old today. Louis Farrakhan. Oh, we might have to break out.
Oh. Wow, really?
Little atonement. Yeah. Little atonement when we get a chance later on in the
Absolutely.
Show today. He is 77 years old today and one of Psycho Mike's personal heroes, porn star Peter North.
That's right.
Celebrates his 53rd birthday Woo! Today.
Decorator.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I need the weenie. I need it. I need the weenie. I need it. Need it. Need it.
You think she's talking about the weenie roast, or she's got other issues?
Nope.
It's hard to say.
Hey, Rock. Weenie Roast 2010 is Saturday, June 5th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Tickets go on sale Saturday at noon. K-Rock Street Team members pre-sale is Thursday. Get all the details at krock.com. It is 6:21. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, we're going to be talking to one of the producers of I can't wait for this. 30 on 30 is this documentary series on ESPN. And tonight they're doing the Raiders moving to Los Angeles from Oakland, directed by Ice Cube. That's a place in time right there. So we'll be talking to him coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on The Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Lisa Mann, I know you're very excited. Rob Pattinson
yes!
has joined us Woo! Here in studio.
Hello.
Hey, Rob. How are you, the star of Twilight? What's going on, man?
I'm sullen.
You're definitely
word,
sullen.
If I had to pick one word to describe myself and how I feel right now, I'd say I'm sullen.
I would say it is definitely sullen. Hey, I see you have your guitar. Is that because it's your best friend?
It's my only friend.
Oh. Your only friend.
No.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, it's all
well,
I have in this world.
Robert Pattinson, we always like having you on the show because it seems like for whatever reason you're in the news all the time. In fact, you surprised a Twitard family at their house that will air on the Oprah Winfrey Show next week, I guess, or later this week. You showed up at somebody's house. It was prearranged, of course, with Oprah, but you knocked on the door and you had crazy Twilight fans just jumping up and down like fools.
Yeah, when you're in a movie series like the Twilight series, it's something that's become this big all over the world. You kind of have to do stuff like that for promotional reasons. And
well, I would imagine it'd be kind of fun too, right?
It was nice to see how happy the mother and the daughter were to see me just show up at the door.
Yeah.
But it was such a burden to then go and have to have sex with them all day. You know, I had things to do.
I didn't know you had to bang them all, too.
That was part of the deal?
Well, no, but I mean, I physically couldn't leave the room before they like a tractor beam from their vagina. they there's nothing they can do. Once they see me with their eyes like Medusa, you turn to stone, I have to have sex with you. It's not,
wow.
It's such a, and it's a burden.
Yeah, that's part of the curse,
poor
I guess.
Man.
It's part of the curse of being Rob Pattinson,
it's
I guess.
They
said that you were great, you were funny, you were nice, you were so tall, you were beautifully flawless and a great sport, but they don't include any of the coitus in that description
of
what happened.
Everything they said is true.
Okay. All right, and the other thing was, and this is always interesting to me, Lisa, everybody, let's face it, one of the toughest decisions any new parent has is what am I going to name my kid, because it's something that they're going to live with for their whole lives, right? And people try to get creative. The fastest rising name of new baby names in America in 2009 was Cullen. That's the fastest rising name, Cullen, because that, of course, Rob Pattinson, is your character's last name in the Twilight movies. What do you think about that?
Is it? That's my last
name?
Yeah. Oh.
I believe it is, yeah.
You know, you made more than one of these movies. You really should know that by now. They call
Cullen.
You the Cullens, like your family.
Right. What about a kid named Cullen, Rob? What would you say if you were to meet a young man like that?
Well, a lot of times, you know, people are going to assume that if you have a name from a popular movie, that you are that person. And I don't wish that upon any boy, because my life is an endless burden.
It's a burden, right?
It's an endless burden.
Here's more of the Twilight influence on names. Isabella is the number one girl's name.
That's a pretty name, Bella.
Because Bella, of course, is your co-star Kristen Stewart in the Twilight movies.
Yeah. She's a real winner. Real electric girl, that Bella.
She certainly is. Yeah. And the most popular boy's name on the list, also from Twilight, Jacob.
Ooh, Jacob.
Well, that's just stupid.
Well, that's
Team
your
Jacob,
arch,
dude.
That's your arch rival. He's the singing dog, right?
He's a wolf.
No, he's a dog boy.
He's a wolf.
I think I know him in the movie. He's a dumb dog boy.
You don't even know your last name.
He's a dumb dog boy with stupid hipster shorts. Walks around with his shirt off like a dancing boy on Santa Monica Boulevard or somewhere from the Castro District or something like that. Look at me with my shirt off and my tight little hipster shorts, and then all of a sudden, woof, woof, I turn into a dog.
That's what happens in the movie.
I have diamond skin, bitch. All right? If you had to compare one person,
you
turn into a dog, I turn to diamonds. What's more important to a lady?
There are an awful lot of people
right.
at TJ.
Suck on that, redhead.
Let me ask you this, because I know you do have your guitar. I understand that you can sum up a person just from hearing their name.
That's true. That's true. I mean, I don't know if I could do it if I were talking to you, but certainly if I'm singing.
Okay.
It's as
it
if I harness something deep within me. I'm like the Oracle of Delphi or something. Once I put my guitar in my hand, I start to sing.
All right, here are some of the other popular names that got mentioned, for instance. One of the fastest rising girls' names on the list is Malia, and that, of course, is after President Obama's daughter. What about somebody named Malia?
Malia, you're probably black.
Okay.
How about the name, and I can't imagine, look, I understand religion and you pass it down to your kids. People are naming their sons Messiah. What about that?
Oh, wow.
Messiah, make me a pastrami on Raya.
I don't think you thought that one through very much, Rob. And finally, this one is
on
the
course.
Of course, the name Jonas is on the way out.
Oh,
the Jonas
don't even
Brothers
give me some.
You got something for Jonas?
If your name is Jonas, you love men. Because the Jonas Brothers can't get enough men when they eat their poppers.
I don't know. You just make
and
stuff
grease
up now.
Sausages.
Okay, stop right there. That's
eat
enough.
The poppers.
Okay, that's enough.
Continue
and
song.
Grease the sausages.
All right, listen, Rob.
Falsetto.
Okay,
sausages.
Rob Pattinson, ladies and gentlemen, from the Twilight films. Thanks for stopping by. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. I'm going to take you back to the 80s.
Straight out of Compton, crazy mother. Nickname Ice Cube. From the gang called Niggas with.
when you hear the great NWA, and you and I are just discussing off the air, this may be one of the most powerful songs ever recorded by anyone ever in history. You think about the Mother Effin' Cube, of course. You think about Eazy-E, Dr. Dre. You also think about the Silver and Black. It's kind of hard to listen to this and think about NWA and not think about the Los Angeles Raiders. Remember those days?
Oh, that was a great era. That was a great era. That's when sports and hip-hop culture really melded into one.
Yep.
Absolutely right. I think Ice Cube said that, I can't remember what his quote was, but it was something like it's sports without music is just sports or something like that. I can't remember what he said, but it was a great quote, and he's a huge Raiders fan still to this day, and that's why he was the best choice perhaps for the 30 on 30 series on ESPN to direct straight out of L.A. all about the Raiders leaving Oakland and Al Davis bringing them to Los Angeles. We couldn't be more excited about the show on tonight on ESPN at 8 o'clock. The producer and writer of the show is on the phone with us right now. John Weinbach joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, John, how are you, man?
How you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Well, we're delighted. I tell you, this series, 30 on 30, and we've talked about it a lot on this show, has been great. I mean, you got me to look at Ricky Williams in a new way on that episode, and I couldn't hate rotisserie baseball anymore after that episode. It's like every time you guys put one of these on, it's just so unbelievable. I mean, you take sports seriously, and we learn so much, and it's also so entertaining. So you're doing a great job with the series.
Thanks. I'll speak for all 30 directors. The compliments are appreciated. Yeah, I mean, you know, what's very cool is that basically ESPN, they had, you know, a small presence in documentary film and sports, but, you know, it's kind of crazy. They're the worldwide leader in sports, and yet they had kind of ceded the ground to HBO. And I think this is, you know, tipping the balance back to ESPN.
Absolutely. Now, this episode tonight, straight out of L.A., I've really been looking forward to because everybody has an opinion on the Raiders, love or hate. Everybody has an opinion on Al Davis, and it's always hate. What's the story? What's the timeline? Are you going to cover the whole 13 years that the Raiders were in Southern California?
Basically, the film is really kind of look at two different phenomenons, but they kind of came together in L.A., which is, you know, Cube's relationship to the Raiders and basically how, you know, how he became a fan, which was, you know, really kind of sparked in when they were still in Oakland, after they won the Super Bowl and they beat the Eagles in 1980, in the Super Bowl in 1981. But, you know, that 13-year era, and I grew up in L.A., and I, you know, remember it vividly, after they moved here in 82, through, you know, winning the Super Bowl after the 83 season, through all the various things that went on in the 80s, you know, finally culminating with them ending in leaving in 1994. And also, obviously, during that period, the rise of NWA and gangster rap and Cube's own career.
Right. Now, the NFL takes it very seriously when an owner wants to move a franchise. What were the reasons that Al Davis gave at the time to leave the Bay Area? Because they'd been up there for a long, long time.
And they had been a huge success. I mean,
what's
really interesting is, you know, look, all the same issues that we talk about today with sports owners. They want a new stadium. They want better luxury suites. They want a better deal. Same thing Al Davis was dealing with, you know, 30 years ago and 25 years ago. And essentially that's what it came down to, was that, you know, he wanted a better deal out of the Oakland Coliseum. Some things don't change. And he basically negotiated on the side with the Coliseum. And remember, the Coliseum had lost the Rams because the Rams had moved to Anaheim. And and people were really upset at the Rams. So they wanted, they had this open stadium. And basically the NFL said, you know, we are the only ones who can tell teams when they can move. You can't just, you know, unilaterally get up and move. And Al fought them in the courts, and they went back and forth, and the courts ruled that they could move.
What was the reaction of the Raiders when their image, their silver and their black and their pirate look started to be co-opted by bands like NWA? Did they like the association? Did they think that it added to their machismo? Or were there some who said, hey, I don't want to be associated with the F the police guys?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because it's a generation gap. You had some guys, remember, most of the guys who were on the Raiders in 1988, 89 were not guys who had grown up with hip-hop. These were not guys who had, you know, gone to high school listening to hip-hop. They were, you know, of a different generation. So I think there was kind of an awareness that these guys, particularly in the African-American community, these guys, meaning NWA, were very popular, and they were inspiring people to wear Raider gear, but it was kind of an uneasy relationship, and we kind of get into that in the film. In fact, Rod Martin, you know, who actually grew up in L.A., went to USC, was a, you know, big star with the Raiders, he said, you know, it was too hardcore for my generation.
Right. Psycho Mike, tell John what you were telling me about, what you remember about the Raiders when you were in junior high.
I remember being in junior high school and not being allowed to wear any Raider paraphernalia or Kings paraphernalia because it was so associated, so tightly associated with gang culture.
That's right. I mean, and we get into that, and I, you know, I grew up in West L.A. in the, you know, hard scrabble streets of Cheviot Hills and Beverly Hills, and you know, you couldn't wear Raider gear. You know, they banned it from Beverly Hills Unified School District because kids, you know, there was this threat, perceived or otherwise, that you could be a target if you wore it. And the irony is that, and again, this is another thing that we get into in the film, is that part of the reason the Raider gear was so popular among gangs was because it was not red or blue. It was not Crypt gear and it was not Blood gear. So it was, quote, neutral. And yet, on the outside, people perceived it as being gang affiliated. And in fact, right. You know, within gangs, it was like, hey, you could wear it and, you know, not get in trouble.
There are a lot of teams. If you're just joining us, by the way, John Weinbach is on the phone. He's the producer and writer of Straight Outta L.A., directed by Ice Cube, tonight at 8 on ESPN, about the Raiders moving to Los Angeles. There are a lot of teams that develop a national following. You know, there are Steelers fans everywhere, Cowboys fans, Patriots fans, certainly. How big was the influence of the 80s Los Angeles Raiders? I mean, were there kids in, you know, Miami and in New York wearing Raider gear, too?
Oh, yeah. I mean, all over. I mean, they led the league in merchandise sales for several years in the late 80s when people forget they had gotten mediocre. I mean, one of the interesting things about the dovetailing of NWA and the Raiders is NWA got big as actually the Raiders got mediocre in L.A., kind of 88, 89, 90, you know, that period when the Raiders had kind of fallen off, and yet the Raiders as a you know, national profile, their profile raised. And it was this thing where the Raiders always seemed to have great players. They had, you know, Marcus Allen and Bo Jackson and, you know, a whole flank of receivers, but they never had a quarterback, and the coaching situation was always in flux, and they always seemed to underachieve, you know, except for a year or two here and there. And, you know, if you look back at their roster in that time, I mean, it's incredible. And they never were able to kind of put it together except for that one season, the second year after they came to L.A.
But nothing has been as bad for the Raiders as the last 8 years, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, if you grew up here and if you grew up with the idea that Al Davis was, you know, commitment to excellence and they had the best record in the NFL from the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, and now they're like, you know, a caricature.
Yeah,
absolutely. All right, we're almost out of time, John. Last question. Last two questions. Ice Cube sits down with Al Davis one-on-one and does an interview. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, I mean, it was a trip. You know, I think Al knows that Cube is essentially the closest thing the Raiders have to, like, you know, Jack Nicholson in terms of an iconic fan. And I think that's why he gave us the access he did and the candor he did. And I can't say that Al Davis is the biggest hip-hop fan in the world. he kept referring it to bop music as opposed to hip-hop. But, you know, he was great.
I love it. And the last question then will be, how do guys like Ice Cube and thousands of other Raiders fans still continue to support that team after they, A, up and left them in Los Angeles, they went back to the Bay Area, and B, Al Davis has continued to make so many moves that have kept the team so bad? I mean, you know, is it in your blood? Is that it?
Yeah, I mean, Cube has a good line. It's kind of like your crazy uncle. You just can't, you know, you can't divorce yourself from him ever, no matter what he does, and you keep coming back to him and keep giving him money. But you know.
You're the abused girlfriend at this point.
Yeah, I know.
You can't get out.
Exactly. But in L.A., it's actually going to be on 8 o'clock on ESPN2, 5 o'clock on ESPN, and then the rest of the country, 8 o'clock East Coast on ESPN and 11 o'clock ESPN2.
Fantastic. Straight out of L.A., it's called, directed by Ice Cube, John Weinbach, producer and writer of the show. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin DeBeat Show. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
By the way, Green Day was on Jimmy Fallon last night doing their cover of the Rolling Stones' Rip This Joint, Ralph. And it was really, really good. We put that up at KevinDeBeat.com for folks who missed it last night and want to see the video on the internet, so they can do that. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Now, what's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I've got tickets to give away. It's been a good run. Every week I've had some tickets to give away for a special advanced screening of a summer movie you're looking forward to seeing. This one comes to us from our friends over at Saturday Night Live, MacGruber. You've seen the sketches on SNL. Now you can go see the movie. Stars, of course, Will Forte and Kristen Wiig. Val Kilmer also in the movie.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
We don't have a winner.
I've got passes to give away to the advanced screening of MacGruber. It's Thursday, May the 20th. The film opens the next day nationwide, May the 21st. If you'd like to see it before anybody else, taking callers, let's say callers 11 through 15 right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five callers who get through at numbers 11 through 15 will get a pair of passes for the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of MacGruber.
Nice.
Thanks. Good theme song. Hope they use it in the movie. Interesting news today. The very controversial, the always controversial, shall I say, Maxim Hot 100 list came out today.
Oh, yes, it did.
And I think there's going to be some controversy yet again this year. Now, Olivia Wilde from House was number one last year.
Wow.
Well-deserved, I think.
Unbelievably beautiful.
This year, she slides down to number 20.
Wow, that doesn't seem quite fair, a slide.
She's hotter this year than she was last year.
Was she in an industrial accident? How do you go from being the hottest woman in the world, according to Maxim, down to number 20?
We have long suspected that this list is based on which photos of which models and actresses they have laying around the office.
It's very possible. Let's run through the top 20, shall we? As I mentioned, Olivia Wilde was 20. Bar Raffaelli was 19.
Okay. Go
19th.
Ahead. Okay, yeah.
She's 19th. Yeah. Mike, you don't know. She's the 19th hottest.
I'm sure there's 18 hotter chicks
there
than Bar Raffaelli.
Like number 18, for example, Christina Aguilera. Yes.
Yeah.
Amanda Bynes. That's number 15. Come she's hot.
No.
She's hotter
doesn't
than
Bar Raffaelli.
Doesn't
belong on the top 100. Amanda Bynes.
No, she doesn't.
She is hotter than most people think of her because they're used to that G-rated stuff.
Still,
she's definitely sexing it up. But ahead of Bar Raffaelli, no.
Scarlett Johansson is 14th.
Okay. All right.
Hotter than Scarlett Johansson? Audrina Patridge, number 12.
I like Audrina. Very nice girl. Very attractive.
She is attractive.
Not,
yes.
Not hotter than Bar Raffaelli
she's
or...
She's 12th.
Okay.
Eva Mendes is 11. Marissa Miller celebrates number 10.
All right. Impressive.
Kim Kardashian is hotter than Marissa Miller. She's at number 9. Olivia Munn is at number 8. She's hotter than Bar Raffaelli.
Listen.
No.
Yes, it's on the list.
I'd probably cut off my pinky for a good shot at Olivia Munn, and she's been in here a lot. She's very, very beautiful. But come on.
Elisabetta Canalis, George Clooney's girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
7th on the list. Rihanna is 6th. Megan Fox is 5th. Blake Lively is 4th.
Oh, ahead of Megan Fox.
Yes, of course.
Stop
it's on the
it.
List. Yes. It's Stop scientific. It. It's science.
I'm sorry. You lost me at Olivia Wilde is 20th, by the way.
Zoe Saldana is 3rd.
Very beautiful.
Brooklyn Decker is 2nd.
Brooklyn Decker's hot, yeah.
Sports Illustrated, yeah.
Any guess as to who the hottest woman is this year, courtesy of Maxim magazine on their list?
I think Bean and I both know.
Oh, I
have to recuse ourselves. Lisa, you want to take a guess?
You want to take a stab, Lisa?
I heard also.
Oh, well then, F you all. I'll just say Katy Perry, number one on the list this year. Katy Perry. And I love Katy Perry. I got a major crush on Katy Perry. But in sheer hotness?
I don't think so.
I don't think she beats out Bar Raffaelli or Marissa Miller.
You can't look at Bar Raffaelli like an eclipse. I mean, she's that hot. You can't directly look at her. I mean, she's unbelievable.
It's true.
I can't believe you're not throwing more of a stink of Marissa Miller only being 10th, Mike, because isn't she your
She's
personal
your all-time
number one?
Fan,
yeah,
right?
yeah, yeah. I mean, look, there's nothing you could do after you start off with Olivia Wilde at 20. After that, I've already just kind of just tuned out, or else I just get so angry I'd have to hurt myself.
Yeah, Maximus
And by
bogus.
The way, I guess Chaz Bono not eligible this year because now he's a man, right?
That's
so he
right,
be
yeah.
on the list. That's the only reason.
He's on Maxis. It's a different magazine. Maxim and Maxis. Trouble in paradise when it comes to these Twilight movies.
Hmm.
What?
Hollywood Reporter says they're going to split the final Twilight novel into two films. Which is the plan, to make as much money as possible, I guess, out of the end of the franchise. However, some of the secondary actors are putting up a bit of a stink, and they're looking to get big money for their participation.
They don't want to get hung up for that long.
Bye-bye. Don't need you.
Kellan Lutz and Ashley Green apparently are holding out. Demanding more than 10 times what they made on the first film.
10?
Wow.
Yes.
I'm really surprised, Ralph, that when they signed these kids who were all nobodies to this franchise, they didn't put the language in that would basically prevent this from happening at the time.
They may have that in their contracts. It happens all the time where you have a contract and then people just say, well, I'm just not going to honor that. We're going to renegotiate our deal. It happens in sports and show business all the time.
Yeah.
Kristen Stewart, Rob Pattinson, Taylor Lautner are already locked in for the sequels. However, the Cullen kids... Helen Lutz and Ashley Greene have yet to be signed, and apparently there's a bit of a sticking point when it comes to their negotiations.
Mm. Give Ashley Greene whatever she wants, by the way. I've reconsidered.
That's what I'm saying. Interpol bass player Carlos D has quit the band. Statement on its official website says that after finishing their new album, Carlos told the rest of the guys that he was leaving to, and this is the quote from the website, follow another path and pursue new goals. When Interpol tours this summer, there will be a revolving lineup of bassists that will fill in for Carlos.
Hmm.
Apparently, Peter Hook, formerly of New Order, is at the top of the band's wish list.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to look for some other bassists to fill in on tour as well, so we'll have to wait and see what happens. And in more music news, the Strokes album will not be out until 2011. Their follow-up to First Impressions of Earth, which, by the way, was released back in 2006.
Was it really? Yeah,
they work slowly.
That's craziness.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
It's a different Stroke.
They came to party, and they weren't disappointed. Aww.
The album was supposed to be in stores this September, but Julian Casablancas told Clash magazine that the album is nowhere near ready. January, he says, probably a safer bet, but even that, Julian says, is up in the air, so you may have to wait a little bit longer.
Wow.
Sad news. I like them, their Strokes.
Yeah, that's probably, what, the most anticipated album right now, Bean? Would you say that?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, a lot of people, of course, are looking forward to it. I don't know if I'd say V, but all right.
I'm scared that there might be extracurricular activities getting in the way of them finishing that album, that's all.
What are you saying, Professor Oblique? What are you trying to hint at?
I think they've reached such a level of popularity, especially in New York City. I mean, they're like walking superstars. That it might be hard for them to really focus and get into a studio. And
I think a lot of bands have been a lot bigger than the Strokes and have been able to squeak out an album.
What are you talking about?
Honestly, those guys
are... The past 5 years, they couldn't knock out an album? They could do all the blowing horse they wanted to.
I didn't say they couldn't do it. I'm saying I suspect that that's the reason why they're having a hard time getting in there and focusing.
Hey, speed bump. Why are you killing my mojo here?
Ooh, I'm the DJ. I work at K-Rock. I'm so cool. You, Mike. You are barely a DJ. You are Kevin and Bean's bitch.
Wow.
You.
Wow.
Dick.
Wow. Thank you, man. That might have stated things a little more strongly than I had wished. Today's celebrity birthdays, Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yeah.
Who is, as we all know, just a kind and gentle soul.
He sure is.
He's all about love.
When he's not hating,
I don't want any guy in suits and bow ties showing up at the station. That's so right. We love Minister Farrakhan.
He's 77 years old today. Porn star Peter North is 53.
There it is.
This dude has had quite the lengthy career.
Lengthy being well the operative word.
Oh, come on. Why do you got to go there?
Just, you know.
There's no way not to.
Martha Quinn, former MTV VJ, is 51 years old today. Actor Nikki Catt from Boiler Room and other projects is 40. Leticia Casta.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sports
not as hot as Christina Aguilera, apparently.
No. She wasn't even in the top 20. She's 32 years old today. And Corey Monteith, very talented actor from Glee. He plays Carl, the quarterback.
Is he hot?
What's his name?
I don't think it's Carl.
It's Louis.
Have
a blank right now.
Me? Glick. I don't know.
It's Roger. Rip.
Just say it's Monty.
Finn.
Not Monty.
Finn.
There you go.
Finn.
Well done.
Who said that to you in your headphones?
F you.
Miss Cleo.
He's 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Weenie Rose, June 5th. Tickets go on sale Saturday at noon. Pre-sale for K-Rock Street Team members is Thursday. Get to K-Rock.com for all the details. It's 7-Eleven. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll get you in shape for summer with the Psycho Body coming up. First, though, let's talk Iron Man 2 for a minute. It's on track, Lisa. It should be crossing the $400 million mark in a day or two.
Are you kidding?
It's been out for less than 2 weeks internationally.
That's insane.
It's going to be one of the biggest movies of all time. And Mickey Rourke is on the phone. He, of course, plays Whiplash, who is Iron Man's nemesis in the film. And he, of course, an always fascinating actor and an interesting guy. Hey, Mr. Rourke, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, hey. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
We're doing fine. We understand that you are, you're an individual who likes to do things your way. And you made a lot of interesting choices playing Whiplash, like insisting that there be a pet bird for the character in the movie. What's that all about?
Yeah, I just thought it was important. You know, I have a strong connection to my pets.
Mm-hmm.
And right. I thought this character also would, have a pet. And it would be important to him.
A bird, right.
A bird.
Right.
And, so... You know, he had a bird,
Get a bird, right? Like you have all those dead dogs that you carry around with you.
Oh man, that's not right. Because
well, I know you're close to your dogs.
When I I had nothing when I was down and out.
Yeah.
Those dogs were the only thing that stayed by me. You know,
sometimes. Only friend you had. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I do have a lot of dogs, but they're all, you know, like family dead to me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Loki,
exactly.
Loki passed away a little while ago.
I heard about Loki. That's sad.
But I still got Knick Knack and Ringworm.
And, your dog's name is Ringworm?
Penicillin. And Ottoman.
And, you have a dog named Ottoman?
Yeah.
And, interesting names.
Clorox.
Okay. Let's move on, Mickey, if we could. Back to
Annabelle.
All right, back to Iron Man 2. If
cardboard.
Could. Okay, how many dogs do you have, Mickey? What's
I got 72 dogs now.
72? Oh, my God.
I got Pixar.
Don't feel like you have to name them all, actually. We really have some other things we wanted
Micah,
to talk about.
Okay. It's my German Shepherd for Micah.
What about the visit you made to a Russian...
coaxial.
Okay, you went to a prison to research the role of Whiplash because the character stayed in a Russian prison. What was that like for you?
Well, when I do work, it's important for me to research the character.
Mm-hmm. That's what you're famous for, right?
A lot of actors today, they don't do the work, you know. They got to go in there and do the work, but they don't do it. They just show up on the set. But I believe you got to go in there. If you're going to perform something, you got to come from a place of truth.
Right, but some people are just actors and they don't need all of that backstory. They just are able to create the character in the moment on the set. Though.
Well, if you don't know where you're coming from, then you can't properly, you know, deliver the feelings that you have to give. And so I had to go to Russia to know what this man went through, to know who he is, to know the reality of wielding a giant laser whip. And so I just went there and I did it, and I'm glad I'm a better man for it, because you don't know what Russian prison is like.
Right. You know? Did you take any of your dogs with you?
Yeah, I did. I took Amberlin. I took Scotty.
I took, Scotty? out of names, are you, Ralph?
Nope. I took Legume.
Legume, okay. Yeah. Anyone else?
Sure. Yeah, I took Valor. Yeah. Valor was my poodle. Yeah.
Good dog, right?
I took...
All right. Thank you, Mr. Rourke.
Hey! I want to be John Goodman.
Thank you, Rodney. 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q, the world-famous K-Rock, in fact. It's 7:24. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Hey, there's a new Wings song out, produced by the great Rappy McRapperson. He'll be joining us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we will world premiere it for you. It may be the best thing she's ever done. Certainly the best of the original Wings songs, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
So absolutely. I'm very, very excited about Stop the Nonsense. So that'll be coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Psycho Mike.
Yeah.
I think it's time for the Psycho Body, and I'll tell you why. Because as I'm in the newsstands lately, in the grocery store, seeing all the ladies' mags, all of them are 4 weeks to a bikini body.
Yep.
That's all that they're talking about right now is, oh, my God, it's the middle of May. It's almost Memorial Day. Pretty soon you're going to be taking it off. What am I going to do? Of course, this is not just for girls. It's for guys, too. I mean, you're getting into that time of year where you're outside. You're doing stuff. And there are people who go, wow, it's been a long, hard winter, and I've really packed on the pounds. And we're going to be looking for calls here in a moment on the Psycho Body. What's your topic going to be specifically to help them out?
Things you can do starting now to really make a difference come summertime. Because a lot of people... I would say the lion's share of people out there, they want to have a good physique, but they want to have it fast.
Right.
And that's realistically not going to happen, especially if you're far from it. You know, if you're 25, 30, 40, 50 plus
pounds
overweight.
What, you can't fix that in a month?
No.
But there are 10
can't.
Magazines that say I can.
Yes, that's but there right. are things you can do to encourage a more healthy lifestyle that can put you on the right track and make a difference, you know, come, you know, middle of August, let's say.
Okay. We want to take your calls if you have specific questions about you and your body and your workout regimen or your diet. Psycho Mike is definitely the guy to ask at 1-800-520-1067. I'm sorry, I think I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No. I mean... It's a very good observation that, you know, right around now you see the magazine starting to shift towards summer body. There's two times a year when people start to become a lot more interested in getting in shape. It's January 1st.
Right.
Because it's, hey, New Year's resolution. Get that body you've always dreamed of. And then, you know, 4 weeks away from summer when people are more concerned because you're going to be wearing less clothing. That's the bottom line.
But didn't they all fix it starting on January 1st? Shouldn't they all be fine now?
Mike, what about these, I don't even know what they're called, these Hollywood diets where they put you on a cleanse or you drink this crappy solution for 4 weeks or something like that and you're supposed to be able to drop 15 pounds? You've heard of all of those. Are any of those either healthy or desirable?
No. There is some benefit to occasionally throughout the year doing something that would be along the lines of a cleanse. You want to detox your body, things like that. You want to go for a period of time where you fast. I can understand that. But as far doing that as a means of losing weight is never the safe route. It's never going to help. You will lose weight.
But
that's the bottom line.
Won't it?
No, of course not. That's exactly the point, Lisa May. You will lose weight. If you don't eat a lot of food and you burn off a lot of calories, you will lose weight. We are mammals. That's the way our bodies work. But you will gain it back immediately if that's your only means of trying to lose that weight. It's not the smartest approach. If you watch Survivor, those people are on that island for, I don't know, a couple weeks, and they lose a ton of weight because they're starving themselves. And then you go and you see, like, the reunion show, and they've all been back in civilization for 3 or 4 weeks. They put it back on plus some because that's the way the body works. You're just not supposed to starve yourself.
I also get the impression, and then we'll take a break and come back with your calls for the Psycho Body at 1-800-520-1067. I also get the impression whenever you hear about, oh, it's a red carpet season and all these actresses want to lose weight so they look their best in their dresses at the award ceremonies, that a lot of that is just water and it just is fighting to come back as soon as the last Oscar's handed out.
Models and actresses and actors in particular have these little tricks that they'll do to get camera ready, that they say. And sure, that's going to work, you know, eating diuretic foods and doing things that are going to pull water out of your body is going to give you instantly a little bit more of a leaner appearance.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only really applicable to someone who's lean to begin with. If you're 20 plus pounds overweight, losing water, pulling some water out of your body by eating asparagus and licorice, not really going to apply to you at all because you're still 20 pounds overweight.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So these are little things that people who are already super lean do to try to, like, just push themselves overboard. But the fact that you brought up Hollywood and models and actresses and being stuff that people are fed through the media, Lisa and I were talking about this yesterday, and that's one of the take-home messages I want to give out to people is that, for the most part, if you're not genetically gifted, don't try to live up to the standards of the people who are.
Like a Jessica Biel or a Jennifer Lopez.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, well, I mean, I wouldn't throw Jennifer Lopez in the category of someone who's genetically gifted, but here's the point. Jessica Biel works out very hard.
Yeah.
I know for a fact. I know firsthand from people who have worked with her. She works out very hard, and she eats right. But if Jessica Biel ate fast food three meals a day every day of her life and didn't work out that hard, she'd probably still be very thin and have a good body. She's a genetic freak.
Right.
Okay.
She hit the lottery.
And
right.
So are a lot of people that you may know in your personal life, male and female. I know plenty of guys that I surf with that have never seen a gym in their life and eat nothing but fish tacos off the Venice Beach Pier, and they have like 13 packs. And it's just the way, because they're,
them.
You know, because their dad did and so did their grandpa,
right.
And that's the way it is. Now, you can achieve a great body by, if you're not genetically gifted, but you have to be completely devoted to it.
Okay.
So don't, and I'm just saying, kind of understand your goals and what your limits are as a person before you go into doing something, and don't get frustrated trying to live up to standards of something that's just not achievable if it's not in your genetic kind of makeup.
Right.
That's all.
Okay.
Diet questions, exercise questions, problem parts in your body. Get you ready for summer with the Psycho Body coming up next. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't just get fit, get psycho. Don't just get strong, get psycho. Don't just get big, get psycho. It's the Psycho Body with your host, Psycho Mike. Are you with me?
I am rarely with you, but this is an area that Psycho Mike seems to know what he's talking about. But please, don't take any of his advice as gospel. Do check with your personal physician. Mike, I think you'd agree with that as well.
I've only sent one guy to the hospital. Come on.
And one guy to the morgue, if I remember correctly. All right, 1-800-520-1067. We'll try to get as many calls in as we can for this edition of the Get Your Summer Body Ready with the Psycho Body. Let's start with line three. It's going to be Marley. I apologize if I got that wrong. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my dear?
Good, thank you.
Hi.
You got a question for the psycho body?
Yes, I do. One question. Normally, for females, how long does it normally you need to be for a body fat in order for your abs to start showing like a silhouette?
Just like an outline, a silhouette. For females, it's a, you know, women carry more body fat than men. Typically with guys, it's anywhere under double digits, so you need to start getting into 10% or lower. For women, if you can get around 12% body fat, you will definitely start to see like a really, you know, the outline of your abs in your midsection. But that's just, you know, kind of like a number that they throw out there. Everybody's a little different. But, you know, for women in particular, Marley, you have to be pretty lean.
Okay.
And that's the last thing to come along. Biologically, that's the last part of your body that's going to get lean, because your body wants to hold on to body fat around your digestive tract. So you'll start to see, you know, your face and your arms and your shoulders lose weight and get leaner. But the ab area is the last place to come along.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's try David. David is on line 8. He's got a question I'm sure a lot of people will identify with. Hi, David. Welcome to the Psycho Buddy. Go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, David.
Mike, real quick question. All right, so former military, going to school right now. Right now I'm taking IGF, Max Pro Protein, and Max EFA with omega 3, 6, and 9.
Okay.
And, I mean, when I'm home, I eat pretty healthy, chicken, fish. But when I'm at school or working, it starts getting a little harder to maintain that. With all the fast food places around me, I get a little tempted.
Right.
I was wondering if there's anything from those fast food places that you might see as a...
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the fast food places are starting to offer, you know, healthier options. But one of the best things you can do is get a grilled chicken sandwich at, you know, whatever the fast food restaurant may be, and then don't eat the bun. You know, that's always a good choice, because you're getting a good, you know, kind of lean source of protein without...
But the French fries are still good, though.
French fries
are
the best,
right?
Way to go. There's nothing better than sliced up potatoes in corn oil deep fried. So, yeah, that's a good option. Then, you know, look at some of the salads, but they also are forced to offer the nutrition facts on their menu, too, now. So if you go in, check out the salads that are not, you know, loaded with the high-fat and high-calorie dressings and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. Now, I had a question about Jack in the Box. Somebody was telling me about the soy tacos.
Yeah, that's something that spread like wildfire, that those 99-cent tacos at Jack in the Box are, in fact, you know, come from entire vegan sources. And I guess the meat is not meat, it is soy, mm-hmm. but the shell and the cheese and everything, it is all based in animal products and stuff like that. But don't get confused that just because something is not derived from animal products that it is in fact healthy.
All right,
thank you very much for the call. We got to move on. Hey, an email question. How do you get rid of cankles, Psycho Mike? That's a problem. Ooh. That some folks have.
Well, obviously lean out a little bit. If you're going to lose body fat, it's going to come from all over your body, and you come from that area. But a lot of times the thickness of your ankles is just something you're born with.
Right.
You know,
And that kind of goes back to what you were saying before, which is there are genetics. Limitations based on your genetics of what you're going to be able to accomplish.
Yeah, it goes the same way for guys, too. Most look at black athletes, they have very thin a high insertion in their calves and very thin little ankles and stuff like that. You look at the, you know, Northern European offensive lineman guy, and he's got coffee cans for wrists. You know, it's just a lot of it's genetic.
Well, let's go to line 6, please. Monica is up next on the Psycho Body, 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Monica. Welcome to the show. What's your question for Mike?
Hi. I had a question about the high protein, low carb diet.
Yeah.
I'm trying it out, and I don't know, like, I've been hearing mixed reviews, like some of it's like you shouldn't eat so much protein, you should have some carbs, but I'm not sure if it's like a happy medium.
Well, I mean, look, the high protein diets, low carbohydrate diets are very effective, and they're called ketogenic diets. I do recommend them, but if you're safe about it, that's a total lie, a misconception that you're going to eat so much protein that it's going to, you know, shut down your kidneys, or it's going to be deleterious to your health overall. Just make sure that you are taking in a good amount of fiber, and that the carbs you do eat come from fibrous vegetables, you know, broccoli and lettuce and spinach and things like that, and throw in either some ground up flaxseed or a fiber supplement, too, if you're having problems, you know, in that department, if you know what I mean.
Okay, and I have one more question. Are you still training people? Because me and my friend are willing to pay a lot of money to have you train us.
What do you look like?
Oh, my God.
I think you guys should do this off the air, perhaps.
Yeah,
I'm thinking this without Mike involved.
What I'm saying is I'm going to need pictures. I'm going to need pictures. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Psycho Mike, you don't have time to trade anyone anymore. Love Line and everything else. By the way, I am eating a delicious, an enormous plate of pasta right now with olive oil and cheese on top. And I just like to look at it as I've been on a carbo-loading program for the last 30 years.
You see, people, what I was talking about? Genetic freaks like Bean can eat that type of food every day and still have the six-pack abs that he likes to show off every summer.
Hey, let me ask you this, Psycho Mike, and I know we're desperately short on time. One of the things that you say that I think most people don't realize is the folks that starve themselves day to day, in other words, they don't eat for 12 hours, are doing themselves a disservice. They are not making it easy for their body to lose weight, right?
You're exactly right. Look, a lot's been made about you got to eat frequently throughout the day and seven, and that's not necessarily true. A lot of evidence shows that as long as the macronutrients and the caloric intake is the same over the day, it doesn't matter. It's all moot at the end of the day.
So 6 meals or 3 meals. Meals are fine.
But you do not want to go throughout the day not eating in hopes of losing weight. If you think, look, I just won't eat and therefore I'll lose weight, that's the best way to go. No, you're not. You're going to, you know, your metabolism, your body has certain survival instincts inside it. And when it's not getting food for prolonged periods of time, it's going to slow down your metabolism to help, you know, kind of accommodate that fact. So you want to try to keep healthy meals in your body for better energy, for better stable blood sugars, stuff like that. And it's also just the more healthy way to go about losing weight.
Thanks for your calls, everybody. This has been The Psycho Body on The Kevin and Bean Show. Paramore playing the Weenie Rose June 5th. Tickets go on sale Saturday at noon for the plebes, but you special K-Rock Street Team members can get yours Thursday. Details at KRock.com. Please go there and sign up to make sure to have a shot at your tickets. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 7:55. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Rappy McRapperson joins us after the top of the hour. We'll talk about the new single from Wing that really, no offense with Paramore, may be the best thing I've heard all year. Oh. I got to apologize in advance.
Oh, Rappy.
Stop the Nonsense, Wing and Rappy's new song. So we'll explore that coming up first. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
We're just trying to get Claire to take her top off and she won't do it.
God.
She's so stubborn
that way, isn't
she?
She won't do top off.
She's so selfish. Damn her. Last hour, I did the hot breaking story about Maxim's Hot 100 list. They do this in their magazine every year, and we were debating on the top 20 this year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got another list. I think it's even more fun to talk about. It is from a magazine called The Good Surgeon Guide, which I think is an excellent magazine because I used to subscribe to Bad Surgeon Guide.
Yeah.
And that really seemed counterproductive to me to encourage the bad surgeons out there to band together. So I prefer the Good Surgeon Guide. They've got a poll of the worst faces of celebrities in the world.
Oh, great. I love that.
Now, is this plastic surgery?
This is both natural and plastic surgery.
Huh.
Okay.
So these are naturally ugly people. And also the plastic surgery victims.
Oh, this is sad if naturally ugly people are also on the list.
Everybody on the list is plastic surgery victims except for number one, who's just naturally according to plastic surgeons, has the ugliest celebrity face.
Okay.
Here's your 10, your top 10, okay? Melanie Griffith was 10th.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
9th was Janice Dickinson.
Yes.
Who invented the phrase supermodel. I don't know if you know that or not.
I do.
Just ask her.
And by the way, may look a naturally very pretty woman, may look good today had she not had so many plastic surgeries.
We'll never know.
No.
Yeah, we'll never know.
The mother of Frank and Sylvester Stallone, Jackie Stallone.
Oh, come on.
Comes number 8th on the list. Number 7, you guys just spoke with Mickey Rourke. He's number 7th on the list.
Yeah, immediately came to mind.
He's got a lot of dogs.
He sure does.
and he can name them all. That was what surprised me.
Almost all of them. Pete Burns. Now, for those of you who don't know who Pete Burns is.
I don't.
He's 6th on the list. He is a singer for a band called Dead or Alive.
Mm-hmm.
He was, back in the 80s, Dead or Alive had a hit smash single, Round Round was the name of that song, right?
Spin Me Round, right.
Spin Me Round.
Okay.
He was a androgynous sort of boy Georgie kind of transsexual singer.
All right.
And it was a good looking dude man. Chick. Girl.
Gotcha.
Girl, chick, man, dude. then got addicted to plastic surgery, and now is a cartoon.
I have to look him up.
It's spectacular. Do yourself a favor. Find some recent pictures of Pete Burns. He's 6th on the list. 5th is Cher.
I don't think her plastic surgery is all that bad.
Oh, Lisa.
Compared to everybody else on that list,
I gotta agree with Lisa.
She looks okay to me.
If you catch her with the right makeup and the right light and from a distance, she still looks pretty good.
I mean,
she's 60-something.
Here's the thing. I don't know if she belongs in the middle of this list. That's for sure.
I don't think she does.
Yeah, certainly not 5th.
David Guest. Remember the guy?
Yeah. There we go.
Windblown David Guest.
To Liza Minnelli. Just a constantly look of surprise on his face. He's a magical. Donatella Versace.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Frightening. And she's as frightening from the neck down as she is from the neck up, too.
Yes. She's got to stop with the bikinis already, that
girl.
I know.
Now, I don't know this person. Maybe you guys can help me out. But number two on the list is someone named Jodie Marsh. Am I ringing a bell?
Don't know Jodie Marsh.
Not at all.
I'll have to look her up. But the number one worst celebrity face in the world is this list. Iggy Pop of the Stooges.
Oh.
Iggy Pop, they claim, has the worst celebrity face in the world.
Well, he's not good looking.
He is not good looking.
I have to say, Keith Richards comes to mind, and so does Kirsten Dunst, as people worse than Iggy Pop.
I don't know about...
Where is Joan Rivers?
Wow. I don't know if your list came out of Britain, but Jodie Marsh is one of those glamour models and newspaper girls from England.
Okay.
And I put Kenny Rogers on there, too. He's unrecognizable.
Yeah. Good stuff with Kenny.
Yeah.
All right.
That's an interesting list, though.
I'm going to put Jared Leto on that list, okay?
His worst celebrity face?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Impossible to look at.
Let's talk about Pete Wentz, shall we? He, of course, has done pretty well for himself in a little band called Fall Out Boy, but apparently that was not his first choice of professions.
Hmm.
Pete Wentz tells ContactMusic.com what he really wanted to do for a living was play professional soccer. Oh, how typical. Perfectly typical. He said he always felt he had a magical connection with the soccer ball. Mike, you had a magical connection with a soccer ball once, didn't you?
I had a magical connection with some balls. It was not a... I don't want to get into details.
So if he had been more talented athletically, we may have been spared Fall Out Boy. That's what you're telling me.
That's what I'm saying. He also admitted that he's always been girl crazy. But he says he once had a mad crush on Axl Rose when he was young. Because back in the day, he thought Axl Rose was a hot redheaded chick lead singer for Guns N' Roses. Wow, but how much is your radar off if that's the case, Pete Wentz?
And Axl Rose could be a very viable candidate for the top 10 worst plastic surgeries, by the way.
He should be on that list. Oh, Pete Wentz. Kate Hudson's finally showing off her girls that we've been talking about for so much.
Mm-hmm.
Us Weekly reports that Kate used to wear large shirts and puffy jackets after she got her breast implants so they wouldn't be noticeable. But now, apparently, since everything's healed up, she has been putting them out there for everyone to see.
So. And they're still not noticeable.
And they're not all that.
But that's okay. I admire that she just went a little bit.
I don't admire that at all.
I know you don't.
I think she fails. I think if you get a boob job and you still need a boob job, you have not gotten a very good job.
But she just didn't want to be inverted anymore.
Here's the thing, and I know this is me saying this, so this sounds crazy. But a girl who has such a thin rib cage and has such narrow shoulders,
tiny.
She would be dumb if she got these giant bolts.
Right, but they don't have to be giant, but she could have gone for a healthy C. Give me a C. Give me a bouncy C.
Yeah, I think she's got a barely B.
Yeah, she's sporty, all right.
Yeah.
And apparently the on-again, off-again relationship of Amy Winehouse and Blake Fielder-Civil is maybe off again. The UK's tabloid The Daily Star says that Blake thinks that Amy is having an affair with their next-door neighbor. Word is he's quite upset about it and is apparently moved out of their home they were sharing together to focus on his recovery and won't even take her calls because he believes she's been fooling around with him.
A week ago, your story was they were heading to the altar, right?
I know.
Going to get remarried.
Look, you're talking about crazy addicts.
Yeah.
You can't expect normal behavior from these people. Let's talk about celebrity birthdays, shall we? Corey Monteith, very talented actor and singer over on Glee, plays Finn, the hunky quarterback on that show. He is 28 years old today. I love 28-year-olds playing high school students. That's my favorite show business. Leticia Costa. He's 32 years old today. Actor Nicky Catt from Boiler Room and other motion pictures is 40 years old. Martha Quinn, one of the original MTV VJs back in the day when MTV played videos.
That's allegedly the music is the M in MTV.
I know it's crazy, and you wouldn't believe it if I didn't know it to be true, but I remember seeing videos on MTV. She's 51 years old. Adult film star Peter North is 53 years old today. He looks pretty good for 53.
I agree.
Yeah,
he's surprisingly salty.
And Minister Louis Farrakhan is 77 years old today, and we still don't have time, but I swear to you, sometime today, we are going to get together, and we're going to play a little speech from Minister Farrakhan, where he talks about the meaning of the word atonement. If you've got an hour or so, please come back and sit down and listen to that speech, because it's magical. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Nirvana, unavailable for this year's Weenie Rose, but that doesn't mean we don't have STP and Hole and Devo and Paramore and Deftones and Spoon and so much more. Go to KROQ.com, get all the details. Make sure you can buy your tickets when they go on sale this week. It's the world famous KROQ at 8:09. All right, what about Wing, ladies and gentlemen? What about Wing? She continues to amaze me with every new record. For folks who don't know the name, she's got to be in her 60s. She lives in New Zealand, but where do we discover she was from? She's from Hong Kong or China or someplace?
I think
like
Hong
that?
Kong originally.
Is that what it was?
I believe so, yeah.
And she sings every song as if she's never heard it before in her life, which I think is to her testament. And she's mostly famous for cover versions of, you know, Beatles songs or...
ABBA. Don't forget ABBA.
She's very big into the ABBA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lately, she's starting to get off into a different direction, though, with original songs. And this new one, we have time to play some of it here, and then we'll talk to somebody who actually worked with Wing on the song. Rappy McRapperson is on the phone. We'll get to it in a minute. This new one is called Stop Talking Nonsense. And when I first got it yesterday from Omar... I couldn't listen to it all the way through because of the sheer awesomeness of it. I had to stop it and then go lay down.
Yeah.
And then get back and start it up again because it was so awesome.
You can't eat a pound of fudge, no matter how delicious fudge is. You have to eat it in pieces.
Mm-hmm. So let's see how much of Wing we can get through, and then we'll talk to Rappy and find out what he knows about her because we do love her very much. The new single, world premiere, ladies and gentlemen, Stop the Nonsense.
Hello, I'm Wing. You like my new song? It makes you happy.
What is that incredibly annoying instrument? As if that's what Wing needs to make her records better.
I believe it's known as a Chinese banjo.
Honestly, I think it's called a shamisen. That's what, thing that you hear in the kind of Oriental music.
All right, there you go, shamisen.
Interesting choice.
I hope you stop the nonsense and be brave to make a change.
Anyone?
I hope you stop the nonsense and
be brave to make a change.
Make with the change, bitch.
Okay.
No nonsense.
Okay, so we're stopping the nonsense, and it's an anti-drug song, right? I mean, that's what she's talking about.
Really? Okay.
Isn't it?
I thought it was anti-gang violence, anti...
Okay, well, maybe there'll be some hints in the lyrics.
Okay.
Nonsense. Why you talk this jibber-jabber swaggy-wacky? You make no sense when you come to talking. Just complaining, always dreaming. Can you see the beauty of the pinging? Can you see?
I don't have it. I have no idea what she's talking about.
Making no sense.
She doesn't like the jibber-jabber, walkie-talkie.
Okay.
You're making nonsense with the pancake.
All right, let's bring Rappy on, because Rappy apparently knows Wing, has worked with Ring, and will play part of his participation in the new Wing song. Rappy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, thank you.
Great to talk to you. How did you get hooked up with the sensational Wing? You're the luckiest little rapper in the world.
I know, yeah. Just watching that episode of South Park, and then... bothering her at the end, hitting up the website and bothering her.
Uh-huh. Oh, so you approached her and said, hey, I'd like to do some work with you.
Yep.
No, okay. No, Bean. Wing hunted down Rappy McRapperson because she had to work with him.
No, I'm impressed that the kid took the initiative, though, to contact Wing and has made his dreams come true. That's all. All right. Yeah. So on this new song, on this Stop the Nonsense song, mm-hmm. does she send you the song and then you just add your part, or are you guys actually collaborative when you make the record?
Collaborative effort, Stop the Nonsense, yeah.
Okay.
Who wrote the brilliant lyrics for Stop the Nonsense?
A little of both.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that mean you're one of the people involved in writing the lyrics? Can you tell us what the hell the song's about?
Sure. Yeah, the song's called Stop the Nonsense, and then in little brackets, it's called Stop Smoking Crack. And then I guess it's about...
Not smoking crack.
Yes, it's about
stopping smoking crack.
Right, I guess that would be what it's about. Yeah. You know what it gave away for me was the thing in the brackets.
Right. Yeah. All right, let's fast forward a little bit into the song and hear part of where Rappy comes in to add his flow. Again, we're listening to the new Wing song, Stop the Nonsense.
No, no, no. No nonsense. No, no, no. Stop this nonsense.
What the hell is going on here, Rappy? Why is she? I mean, look, I know she's got her unusual style, but this is crazy even for Wing, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Wing took a. She was brave. You know, she she took a risk.
A creative risk. All right.
Yeah, she's going outside her comfort zone.
Here go. She's not singing Carpenter's hits anymore. I'm telling you, that's the old Wing. All right, here comes Rappy on the song.
Yeah, baby, now we're rapping like some real champs. Nonsense, in a swamp, it's real damp. Feel clamps, I'm feeling amped up. Clap up funny, crack me up. Holy shucks, spilling cups, crackers stacking, acting up.
All right, now that goes on for about a minute or so. Did you get the sense that Wing has any particular love for the hip-hop nation, or is that an area of music that she just doesn't have any input in, she just leaves it to you, the professional?
No, she likes it. Yeah, no, she's into it.
Rappy,
how much input does she have on the production of the song, or is that all you?
She just sent me her vocals through the internet.
Really?
And then we kind of mixed them. Yeah, we co-wrote it, and she sent me the vocal tracks. She's a talent, that's for darn sure.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. We were commenting, though, when we were listening to the song yesterday, is it sounds like you did everything you could to drown her out in the production. It's like, let's make sure you can barely make out what Wing is singing.
I guess I need to get a new engineer.
It's a little thick. The production's a little thick. Maybe a remix a little bit.
How can people get the song? Because everyone listening will, of course, want to own it, Rappy. Where can they go?
Wonderful, wonderful. The chorus is just wonderful. It's inspiring. One can purchase this song by going to iTunes and typing in Stop Smoking Crack in the little search bar.
Uh-huh.
And so, you can do that, or you can not do that. So either way.
What were those lyrics? What were those words I just heard?
That was the climax of the song. Now it goes, "Stop smoking crack,
right
inside the shack.
Inside the shack,
moms are for hugging, not giving slaps. Put down the drugs. Moms are for hugs. Stop gambling, Kevin and Bean, and just feel the love."
Ladies and gentlemen, there you go.
So it's more than just about crack. It's about it's about parental abuse. It's about gambling addiction. You really cover a lot of the bases. All kinds of nonsense.
It's an anthem for a positive lifestyle. Am I right, Rappy?
Yes, sir.
I don't know if Psycho Mike, you know Dr. Drew, has he ever classified crack addiction as nonsense?
No.
Nonsense for me more it's like, you know, when you're laughing in church or something. I don't really know if the crack addiction is nonsense.
No nonsense, tomfoolery, any shenanigans. Never
hijinks. Well, Rappy, you're doing the Lord's work, man. Keep making those great Wing tracks, and thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you very much. Yep.
Bye-bye.
Smooth jazz.
Mm-hmm. Weenie Roast goes on sale at Saturday, except for K-Rock Street Team members. That's Thursday. Get all the details at krock.com. You won't want to miss this, the show of the summer.
When is it? When is the concert?
June 5th, the Rising Roundless Amphitheater.
And for our Hispanic listeners, Cinco de Hoon.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:25. All right. I am extremely uncomfortable with where this conversation is about to go, but I'm telling you up front that I think I might be gay.
You brought it up.
I know. I think I might be gay. And I'm the guy who has long been accused of being gay because of my peculiar interest and my love for, you know, sweet Zac Efron and so many others. But I never thought of myself as gay until I saw the video that Kevin Bean listener Gabriel sent. He listens to us online from Thailand. And this weekend, Ralph, was the Miss Tiffany Universe 2010 pageant.
Miss Tiffany Universe.
Now, what this is all about is transgender beauty pageant.
Oh.
These are, in the Personals ads that you're familiar with, Ralph, these would be the CWDs of the world. And let me tell you something. These are guys from the waist down and chicks from the waist up. And it will blow your mind how beautiful these guys are.
They're not even guys from the waist down. They're like guys just for that region in between their legs.
But you're right.
And butts and everything is just magic.
Beautiful.
You got to see the video. We just put it up at kevinandbean.com. I insist that you go there immediately and see still photos and video of the winner of the Miss Tiffany Universe 2010. Now, look, there are transgenders all over the world. Any place where people can't afford to change sex, they're going to do it. And there are lots of people, of course, who want to. But, Ralph, wouldn't you say that that the Asians in particular are well-suited to be going from male to female and looking good, right?
Well, I just think
the slight features and the kind of skin.
Anatomically, yeah, they're kind of closer because they tend not to be so hairy, which right. is good mm-hmm. if you're going to make that change. They are tend to be more on the slender side, which is also a plus. They've got more delicate features. So I do think they're starting off with a bit of a cultural advantage there.
You look at these pictures, though, and like Lisa May just brought up the website at KevinMe.com, looked at the pictures and said, you're not going to believe it until you see penises, right?
Yeah, I need to see penises. Otherwise, well, I don't believe that they aren't women.
You say that every day, though. No matter what we're talking about, you make that declaration.
That's true.
Now, Lisa, I love you, and I think you're a very beautiful woman. So please accept that this next statement in the spirit in which it's intended. You have to feel terrible about yourself as a lady when you look at these guys.
It's funny. That never crossed my mind.
No,
well,
that,
not one time did that cross my mind,
pale
being, but
in
thank
comparison,
you.
A real woman that you are pale in comparison to these men. That's
I know that
saying.
They are way better looking than me, but it didn't until just now make me feel bad about myself.
You should take it personally is what Bean is saying, that you somehow are deficient, not that they're superior.
Wow, I feel deficient that I didn't realize I was deficient.
It's funny because from time to time, and I guess we'll take some calls now too at 1-800-520-1067 from guys who have been fooled by what they thought was a beautiful woman and it turned out to be a dude. That bad crying game surprise at the end of the night. We were going to want to hear your stories at 1-800-520-1067. But when we've done that topic in the past, I've always thought, well, the guy was just drunk or he wasn't paying attention. How do you miss the Adam's apple? How do you miss the bigger hands? I always thought it was on them that they weren't able to detect that it was actually a dude. But looking at this video, I think you could put any of these contestants in front of 100 guys and they'd all think it was a woman.
Yeah, but the vast majority of transsexuals do not look like the contestants in this beauty pageant.
But I will tell
like
you.
Like Janet Reno.
Like the vast majority of women don't look like the women in the Miss America pageant or any pageant.
Years ago,
this is a small percentage.
Right. Years ago, I went to some strip clubs in New Orleans and they were all men. And most of them had implants and still had penises.
My.
And you didn't believe that they were men until they dropped their drawers right at the end.
Wow.
It was shocking.
And was that required for proof to win the competition? You had to prove that you
were a
man?
It wasn't a competition. This is just these are just these clubs that you can go to.
It was just a Thursday night in New Orleans.
Exactly.
Everyone grabs their money off the stage and walks out at the end of the act.
Well, these are called ladyboys, and apparently they're very, very popular in lots of parts of Asia. And Psycho Mike, you'll be interested in this. Apparently, according again, Kevin Bean Lister Gabbro, who sent us these pictures, apparently it is not uncommon for guys to date and have guys who do not consider themselves gay to date and even have sex with the ladyboys. And there's no stigma, no societal stigma attached to that. It's just these ladyboys are so popular there.
Yeah. Listen, if you are attracted to this guy based on the fact of what a beautiful woman he is, you would be hard to classify that as gay.
I think so.
Because in my mind, gay means you're attracted to the same sex. An attractive man would do it for you. But if you're getting hot over a guy who looks like a great-looking girl, I just think there's some confusion there. But I don't think it's necessarily gay.
I'm attracted enough to the two finalists in this video that we have at kevinandbean.com that it's uncomfortable for me to watch. I mean, I'm serious. I keep getting so aroused.
Your own sexuality.
No, I'm perfectly secure in it. It's just like I know that I'm really getting turned on over and over again.
And that's okay.
Yeah, it's
fine. So why are you uncomfortable with it?
Because I know that they have a penis.
So?
It just it rubs me the wrong way at the end of it. Like,
oh, that's extra.
Here's the thing. I'll say right now, if either of these two lady boys walked in dressed like this with their makeup done like this and offered me sex, I would take him up without question.
Yeah.
Okay, but once you got to, once you got to that point where it was the discovery portion, where it was obvious that now this guy's got a bigger junk than you do, you're out though, right?
No, he's saying going into it, he's good with it.
Oh, going into it.
If he knows going into it and they walk into the room, he's good.
But like Ralph said, these are not the lion's share of the CWDs
of course not.
That you meet out there.
Right.
Look, I just feel like, and maybe this is my small mindedness. I feel like a penis on a woman is a deal breaker, and I think that's fair. I think if I'm willing to forgive a lot, but if she's got a penis, I'm out.
Wow, you got a pretty narrow definition of femininity, my friend.
Those boys are prettier than any woman you'll ever get.
Word.
That's for damn sure.
I'll tell you that.
So In the words of the great Adam Carolla, I guess I'm just uptight. So we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Have you been duped by, as I see some of our callers on the line, an actual ladyboy in Thailand, or has it happened in the Americas or someplace else? You thought it was a chick, turned out to be a dude. What happened next? 1-800-520-1067. Your calls when we return on the Kevin and Bean. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. The term is ladyboys, very popular in much of Asia. We got a video up at kevinandbean.com of the pageant that was held this weekend for transgenders. They look like women. They look like hot Asian women.
Mm-hmm.
And I love nothing more than hot Asian women. But it turns out they're dudes.
A big open manhole.
So we're taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you have been surprised, if you've had your crying game moment, if you remember that old movie, let's try Ethan. He's on line two. He joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. I believe he actually has some Thai experience. Hi, Ethan. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What
Ethan,
happened?
Have you sampled the Thai stick?
Hey, well, first let me say, the people of Thailand, I compare them to the mallard duck. The okay. men are the pretty ones, and the women are the ugly ones.
Oh, I got you.
Interesting. Okay.
So we met these girls at a bar. We're drinking with them all night, having a good time. We take them back to the hotel. They actually made us pay the front desk money so we can bring them upstairs because they got a policy against bringing the locals to your hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
We're messing around. Things are getting hot and heavy, and all of a sudden I feel a bump. And I'm thinking, what is this? She's a little weird. And then she pulls her pants down.
Holy mackerel.
All right, so here's the moment of truth. If you're Psycho Mike, you've got enough invested in the evening and you're already horny enough, you just keep on going. If you're me, you're out the door. What did you do?
I ran out of my hotel room with my pants around my ankles.
You coward.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Dirk. Dirk is on line three.
I know what Dirk did.
Dirk, also in Thailand, by the way.
I killed her.
For his story.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean, Ralph, Lisa. How you guys doing?
Good.
All right, Dirk, what happened, dude?
Buddy of mine and I, again, we're on the island of Koh Samui, which is off the coast of Phuket in Thailand. We are in a bar, in a go-go bar. And the hottest girl by far at the bar walks up to my friend and just grabs his junk. He's completely infatuated with her. And luckily for me, a less attractive Thai hooker approaches me with sort of the same proposition. We go back to our suite. You got to pay the bar to release these girls, 100 baht, which turns out to be $3 U.S.
Oh.
Wow.
So we negotiate with these girls. Turns out my buddy paid this ladyboy 1,000 baht, which is $30 U.S. I talked mine down to 600, and we separate. So we're in our suite, and all of a sudden I hear this girlish scream, and I give the girl that I'm with a little nod and think, ah, there's my boy taking care of his business. All of a sudden, he runs out of the room. And is looking at me with this little teary-eyed girl face thinking, there's a guy in my room, a dude, and one of these lady boys that they warn you about. And me and the hooker I'm with start laughing our ass off because she knew the whole time that he was
awesome.
That's funny.
But you were with a woman.
Yes, that I was with a woman, and that she knew that the really hot woman at the bar was actually a dude. So good little trick for her. He ends up chasing this lady boy out of the room. Goes back to the bar, gets a refund, but what I mean by that is he gets a real lady, takes her back to the hotel, finishes it off for the night, and we
That's
had a
awesome. Are you still friends with this guy that you went on that trip with?
Oh, yeah, he's the best.
Okay, because you can never, ever stop rubbing that in, dude. I mean, seriously, you can never let that go.
Yeah, he will always be known as... James Ladyboy Hogan.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Love that call. Thank you so much. Let's do one more. Andy, just for you, Lisa, is a firefighter. He's got a story to share with us. It happened in the good old US of A here on Line 6. Hi, Andy. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
What's up, dude?
Hey, I went on a fishing trip with all the guys from my station in Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And we picked up what I thought was a really attractive girl at a bar and brought her back to the cabin we were staying at. And lo and behold, after a little time of messing around and everything like that, I found out she had, some junk.
Parts. Okay, right.
So I kicked her out, and I said, you got to get out of here. I don't, you know, I couldn't let any of the guys at the station know. So as she's leaving, I didn't know all the guys were sitting in front of my door to listen in what was going on.
Oh, she walked out
with her pants down, and ever since then, I've been known as Andy the Mailmate and Crying Game.
Oh, dude,
nice.
Dude.
It was rough. It's been rough.
Oh boy,
for a guy who spent more time around hoses than you did, Andy, I'm surprised it weirded you out.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph. I've got Louis Farrakhan standing by. If we have any time at the end of the showbiz beat,
I will try to manufacture it then, because it's an excellent piece of audio.
And it is the birthday boy, and who knows how many he's got left.
Before I get to showbiz news, quick email, because we were talking about lady boys.
Yeah.
And of course, all morning long, we've also been mentioning our big Weenie Roast concert this summer.
Oh.
This comes from listener Chris. Last year, at the Weenie Roast, I met this very tall, feminine, what I thought was a woman, who insisted she could get me backstage. Obviously, I went for it. As I was drunk, I could not pass up an opportunity to be backstage. When we got there, she really came on to me, and I have to admit I felt a little obligated, so I went for it. But I have to say it got pretty uncomfortable with her constant rambling about the Edmund Fitzgerald and the post office. She also had a very strange Audi belly button.
I see where we're going.
That's
down.
From Chris on you, and I appreciate him calling in. I'm sorry.
I need the weenie. Okay. I need it. I need the weenie. I need it, need it, need
it. All right, thank you.
Sorry for your pain, Chris, what you went through there. Weenie Roast concert. Oh, say goodbye. Say goodbye to Snooki and the situation and Ronnie
what?
And Jay Wow.
What? What
well,
happened?
Well, it's official that this current season that will be airing shortly of The Jersey Shore, which is the gang in Florida, will be their final.
Okay.
MTV is casting an entire new cast for the third season of Jersey Shore. So I guess maybe they shouldn't have asked for as big a pay raise as they did.
As you have pointed out, as a guy who grew up very close to the Guidos and Guidettes,
yes.
They could throw a rock and cast that show, right? Now, it's not going to be that hard to find more Snookies.
There is no shortage. It's like what I always say about Playboy and Playmates.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just keep on coming. Every year they make a brand new batch.
Right.
And this new season, the second season, premieres July the 29th, and then it'll be all over. Apparently, when JWoww found out, she said she cried her eyes out.
Okay.
Yeah.
The worst part about this is now we're going to have six no-talents who are going to insist that they are talented and have a career and deserve something after the show goes off the air. And we're going to be putting up with them on every other reality show for the next year.
That's quite possible,
And then people will bring them in and they'll work, which is hideous. Lady Gaga
is speaking of lady boys
is apparently changing her style yet again. She has dyed her hair gray, according to the London Sun tabloid.
Who does that?
I have no idea. I've never heard of anyone who wanted it to be gray.
Okay.
But apparently Lady Gaga is adding gray highlights to her hairs.
Nice.
Maybe she wants like the senior citizen discount at Denny's or something. Maybe she's,
that would work.
Maybe she's trying to save a buck. Rebecca Romijn and Jerry O'Connell are very happily married with a matching set of 16-month-old girl twins. But Rebecca says that the two kids are as different can be. Even though they're both girls and they are twins, they're not identical. They're fraternal twins. She said that her little girl, Dolly, looks just like her and is very girly. And Charlie, the other girl, looks just like Jerry. Oh, can you imagine being a girl and you're Rebecca Romijn's daughter? And you come out and you look like Jerry O'Connell. Well, Jerry's a good-looking guy.
Right.
But Charlie's
not as a woman, though.
But Rebecca Romijn, you know what I'm saying?
It's like poor Billy Joel's daughter.
Yeah.
Looks like him instead of Christie Brinkley, her mother.
Yeah. And she tried to commit suicide. She did.
She did. I know. You're right.
Annie Lennox is not a big fan of American Idol. She was doing an interview with the Daily Mail, it was a British newspaper, and said, American Idol is dangerous and cruel. She said she would never be a judge. She would never appear on that show because of the devastating effect that rejection can have on young artists, and she doesn't want to be any part of it.
I have to disagree with Miss Lennox. What those kids need is rejection.
I agree.
Need somebody to tell them that they're terrible.
Yes. Weed them out.
And don't all artists deal with that, regardless if they're on a television show or not?
Yeah, you shouldn't get in the show business if you're not ready to deal with it. But I guess she figures everyone should be fostered like happy. Stop with the nonsense is what she's saying.
It makes you happy.
Remember Janie Lane?
Yeah.
Lead singer for Warrant?
Warrant, right?
Yeah. Imagine my disappointment when I found out Janie was a dude. He was arrested.
Did you have a gun?
Arrested, son. He was arrested. Put that in the file,
please. Yeah, I will.
He was arrested Sunday night here in Los Angeles on suspicion of driving under the influence.
Apparently, he was pulled over and popped in the Woodland Hills suburb of Los Angeles.
It's been a bad year for 80s hair metal lead singers.
It's true.
It
could be worse. He could have a brain bleed.
That's right.
Last year, he also got popped for DUI and was sentenced for 2 days in jail along with 36 months probation. Let me see. Last year, 36 months, 12 into 36, 3 years. Oh, yeah. He's in trouble.
Yeah.
He's going back.
He's constantly struggled with his sobriety. I feel bad for him.
Janie does?
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Mike. Taking all the wind out of my sails.
No, I mean, he's a really nice guy, too. I feel bad. But, yeah, like I said, he's been off and on, you know, really battling that, so.
Well, maybe make it better. We can, I don't know, send him a cherry pie or something.
Hey, now.
Somebody cheer him up. Oh, did I? Yes. Yes, I did.
Yes, you did.
Today's celebrity birthday is Corey Monteith. He is Finn, the quarterback on Glee. He's 28 years old today. Leticia Costa is 32 years old today. Nikki Catt from Boiler Room is 40. Martha Quinn, one of the original VJs, celebrates her 51st birthday. Peter North, adult film star and human fire extinguisher, is 53 years old today. And Minister Louis Farrakhan. We mentioned him earlier. He is the most level-headed and perhaps forgiving of all the religious/social/political leaders.
And we'll be hearing that from him later in the hour.
Oh, we're out of time again?
We're out of time. Sorry.
He's 77 years old today. Trust me, you're going to love this tape of him telling you the meaning of the word atonement. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Are you telling me there's a movie we haven't seen that we are poorer for that fact, Ralph?
You know, I'm a little embarrassed because the Video Vault I always reserve for movies that are so bad, they're awesome. And we've been exploring films for years now via the Video Vault. And mm-hmm. I wasn't even aware of this movie until just recently. And it is the worst movie ever made.
This is like being a rock music fan and just now hearing about the Beatles,
yeah,
right?
Oh, who's these four guys from Liverpool? They play some music. I feel like I'm embarrassed. I wasn't aware of this movie. It came to my attention because there has been a documentary made about it that's coming out next week, and we're going to talk to the director, who also is the star of this film, by the way.
Wow.
Called Best Worst Movie, and it literally is the worst movie ever made, according to IMDb.com.
Wow.
Rotten Tomatoes, which, you know, gathers all the reviews of all movies, right, and then tells you how many, you know, what percentage is a good review or bad review. It has a 0% positive review.
Oh.
It's the only film ever made.
Oh,
that has
my
that.
God.
It is the worst film ever made, and it is magic. It fails on every possible level. The acting, the writing, the score, the direction, everything is wrong with this movie, and that makes it all so beautifully, wonderfully right.
I'm excited.
It is called Troll 2. It is the sequel to Troll, just basically by title only. It was a film that was made by an Italian director and his wife who wrote the screenplay. They came to America and they shot it in Utah using amateur actors on a low budget. And it is freaking awesome. The movie starts off with a little Josh is his name, Joshua. And he is being read a bedtime fairy tale by his grandpa, Seth. And it's the scariest ghost story you could ever tell any kid about these creatures called goblins. By the way, the movie's called Troll 2. No one ever says the word troll in the movie at all. It's all goblins that they're talking about. Here is his grandpa, Seth, telling him the story about the goblins.
Who are they, Grandpa?
Cruel, deformed forest dwellers. Haughty creatures. Spiteful and impudent. They are the vengeful and evil goblins. Little people of the night.
Yes, they're haughty. They're haughty and spiteful. Oh, no! Not haughty creatures, Grandpa.
That word is not wasted on a 9-year-old.
It turns out that the Grandpa Seth, who's telling him this story, is actually dead. It's Grandpa's ghost that comes to tell little Josh stories before he goes to bed.
But that's not scary to...
No, Josh likes Josh? Visiting with Grandpa.
Okay.
However, Mom is a little concerned that Josh keeps talking to his dead Grandpa Seth.
I see him in front of me, and he's so real. And he tells me stories from just like before.
Grandpa Seth has been gone for more than 6 months now. You were at the funeral, and I know it was very difficult for you. It was also very difficult for your father, and for Holly, and for me, his daughter. He was an amazing man. Grandpa Seth has remained in all our hearts, but you must banish him from your mind. Remember what the doctor said?
Of course. Grandpa Seth is just an invention of my subconscious.
That's right.
That's right, honey.
Banish
your grandfather's memory from your mind forever, please.
Jesus.
She's reading from cue cards, right? It's the first time she's ever seen this material.
Nope. This is a performance. Well, the entire family, Josh and his older teenage sister, Holly, and mom and dad, they're going on a vacation to a little country town called Nilbog. And they're going to stay in Nilbog.
Of course it is.
And dad's really excited about it. And mom comes to him worried about their son, but he thinks that the trip's going to make everything okay.
I'm worried about Joshua. He's still seeing Grandpa Seth.
When I was a kid, I had an imaginary playmate, too.
But it wasn't your dead grandfather.
Yeah, it'll end. This trip will make him forget about your father.
Michael?
Yeah?
Who are the goblins?
Hey, honey, by the way, who are the goblins?
Uh-oh.
I keep hearing about all these goblins. What's that all
weird
about?
Transition.
It is a very odd transition in the film. Meanwhile, Holly is the teenage daughter who, of course, is oversexed, and she's got a boyfriend named Elliot who sneaks into her room all the time. And he gives her a particular scare in this particular case, and she knees him right in the gonads. And it makes for an interesting exchange.
I'm the victim of a nocturnal rapture. I have to release my lowest instincts with the woman.
Oh! Release your instincts in the bathroom.
Are you nuts? You trying to turn me into a homo?
Wouldn't it be too hard? If my father discovers you here, he'd cut off your little nuts and eat them. He can't stand you.
And you?
I like you. But my family doesn't like you. They say you're good for nothing and that you spend way too much time with your friends.
Yeah, you know, that infuriates parents when kids spend time with their friends.
I can't tell whether it's I guess it's both, right? You can't determine whether it's the acting or the script. It's both in this case are so unbelievably bad.
Well, the script, keep in mind, is written by a woman who English is her second language. And you can definitely tell by the dialogue that she is not versed in the ways that Americans speak so much. So the family goes on vacation. Holly's teenage boyfriend follows in a camper van with some of his friends because he wants to spend some time with her in the woods. And when they get to Nilbog, they find out via the ghost of Grandpa Seth that these people there are actually goblins in disguise because goblins can look like human beings. What these goblins are vegetarian goblins. And they feed you a special potion that turns you into a plant, and then they eat you.
Well, of course.
Now, when they get there, the neighbors bring by all this green goop for them to eat. They seem so thrilled to get it. And they're about to eat it, and Grandpa Seth tells little Joshua he has to stop the family from eating it no matter what the cost. So he promptly stands on the dinner table and pees on their meal. I'm not kidding you.
Oh, my God.
This happens. So as things go along, the boyfriend and his buddies run into this druid witch who is the leader of the goblin clan, who gets her power from, I'm not kidding, the magic rock of Stonehenge. And unfortunately, she captures some of the boys and turns them into plants and to make them fodder for the goblins.
Okay. They're eating her! And then they're going to eat me!
Everyone starts to ooze green stuff out of every orifice because they're becoming a plant. And when you go to the local general store there in Nilbog, it turns out they don't have any food that you can eat other than the secret elixir that they give you to turn you into a plant. And here is the creepy old general store owner who is trying to explain things to this young man who's going shopping that there's none of your usual breakfast fare at this store.
Can I help you? Coffee. There's no coffee here in Nilbog. It's the devil's drink.
Eggs. Bacon.
Are you crazy, boy? We're vegetarians here in Nilbog. Didn't you know that? Here's some Nilbog milk. Special milk. High in vitamin content. Here is free.
Free?
Of course it's free. We love tourists here in Nilbog.
Don't drink the Nilbog milk.
I don't like the sound of this at all.
Do not drink the Nilbog milk.
What is going on?
Because you will turn into a plant, and then the goblins will eat you.
Ralph, we're essentially out of time here.
Oh, come on.
Troll 2, is it available on DVD? Is it the must-rant of the summer?
One more quick clip, just to tell you why they're in Nilbog.
Okay, good.
Nilbog! It's goblin spelled backwards!
Nilbog is goblin spelled backwards.
Oh, no!
Troll 2 is available on DVD. I recommend that you pick it up, and you will watch it over and over and over again, as I have. And then you'll see this documentary about when they revisit the people who made this movie.
That
and
I want to see.
It is like a Christopher Guest movie. You can't believe these people exist. It's outstanding.
Unbelievable. And we'll bring down the curtain or close the door, whatever it is we do.
Close the door. Hold.
Hey.
It makes you happy.
106.7 K-Rock, it's K-R-O-Q. It is 9:44. Kevin and Bean Show, final look at the showbiz beat with our friend Ralph Garman. He joins us in studio talking about what?
Well, we were talking about this off air, and we said it is remarkable that for a man who has retired from his chosen profession of acting and who has pretty much removed himself from all of the showbiz limelight, you don't see him out in parties, you don't see him on talk shows, you don't see him. Sean Connery remains in the news more than anybody else we can think of.
He sure is. You are absolutely right about that.
Yeah, another Sean Connery story today.
Because he really did. He not only retired from acting, he retired from even public appearances.
Yes.
It's not even like, as you say, he shows up at somebody else's premiere and gets an interview. He's nowhere.
He's gone. He lives in, I believe he splits his time between Bahamas, or perhaps it's Jamaica. And Spain. I know he has a home in Mirabella, Spain also. But that's pretty much, that's where he goes. And Scotland. He goes back to Scotland from time to time because he's very politically active there. But other than that, you don't see him or hear from him. And yet he still shows up in the news like this story. There is a woman in the UK who doctors are identifying just by her initials, KH. She is 62 years old, and she has she's been diagnosed as having a disorder known as phonagnosia. Which is a psychological, neurological syndrome that makes it
what?
She can't recognize voices. That's her problem.
Like
she,
if you talk to her, she doesn't.
She can hear her daughter's voice, but if it's coming from behind her or over the phone, she has no idea who that person is.
Really?
Interesting.
She is incapable of recognizing voices or picking out men's voices from women's voices. She has no way of discerning,
wow,
neurologically, the difference between voices.
So she would have had trouble following your sentence, too, not just us.
Exactly.
Okay.
She wouldn't have known who was saying it. There is one voice that she can identify when she hears, and that is the voice of Sean Connery.
That's so awesome.
What?
How is that possible?
No one knows. They are studying
her. She
doesn't
know Sean Connery or anything?
They're studying her. No, she's never met the man. They're studying her, trying to find out why that voice, for some reason, sticks out to her.
Wow. That is shocking.
If she is told whose voice something is and then played a piece of tape or something, she cannot identify it. It's remarkable. They've tried all different kinds of voices, all different kinds of celebrities, and Connery's is the only one that she recognizes.
Well, I think we all can agree on the fact that you.
So maybe it's because he's so angry. Maybe she recognizes that. But I just thought that was fascinating.
He's afraid not to recognize it.
Now, here is some use for the 3D technology that is so popular these days that I can really get behind. Playboy magazine has announced that on its new edition that hits newsstands on Friday, the centerfold will be in 3D.
Yay!
So,
magazine comes with 3D glasses.
Okay.
All right.
And you just pop open the centerfold, slap on your glasses, and then start slapping on something else. You know?
Oh,
so, yeah, you get to see a naked lady in 3D.
I hope they picked the appropriate model for Miss June. In other words, sometimes they go with the smaller boob ladies. I hope this one they really went for the bigger boob ladies just to get maximum effect of the 3D. Why waste the technology?
Apparently, Hope Dworjak, I think
she's
her
the Playmate
name.
Of the Year.
Yes. She will be the centerfold.
She's way hot and way busty, Bean.
Fantastic.
So, I'm in. There you go, fellas. A little something else to add to you. This is your Playboy experience.
A dumb question, excuse my ignorance, but do they have 3D online yet? Could you put the glasses on and look at something on a computer screen and have it appear 3D, or is it not?
I can't imagine why you wouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
If the image is reproduced faithfully from the printed image on the internet, you should be able to use it, yeah.
I don't know if
they're offering that or not.
But. Yeah, interesting, okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Corey Monteith from Glee. He plays Finn on that show. He is 28 years old today. Leticia Costa.
Oh.
Smoking hot supermodel turns 32. Nikki Catt, actor from The Boiler Room, is 40 years old. Martha Quinn, one of the original MTV VJs, celebrates her 51st birthday. Adult film star Peter North.
Yeah.
Is 53 years old. And Minister Louis Farrakhan.
There it is. There it is.
Is 77 years old today. You may know Minister Farrakhan as the leader of the... What is his group called again, Bean? You would know.
Nation of Islam.
Nation of Islam. That's it. You see these guys in their bow ties and their dark suits and their horn-rimmed glasses, and you know that it's bad news for Whitey.
And we love to revisit the Million Man March when Louis Farrakhan was probably at the peak of his mainstream awareness. He had the eyes of the nation on him when he gave that speech to hundreds of thousands of people at the Washington Mall, and this is what he used that time for.
I want to take one last look at the word atonement.
All right. Atonement is where we are.
The first four letters of the word form the foundation. A-T-O-N.
N. Got it. I'm with
Aton.
You.
Aton.
What's that mean?
Aton.
Aton. Okay. Aton.
Aton.
Aton. All right, got it. Aton.
The one God.
What?
So if you look at the Aton, add an E to it.
I'm adding an E, okay.
And separate the A from the next four letters, and you get the word A-tone.
That's actually two words.
Tone means sound.
Right.
And A, the first letter of the alphabet.
All right.
And the first letter of the numerical system is one. So okay. A equals one.
Okay.
A.
So A, sound.
Is this algebra now?
Means... When you hear the A tone,
all right,
you will hear the right sound.
And the point is...
So what is the A tone?
Well, there's an...
In music, okay.
A
equals 440 vibrations.
Okay.
How long have we been in America? 440 years.
Oh, now you're just stretching.
Well, in the 440th year.
What about next year?
Then we'll from the one God.
It doesn't work anymore.
The atom.
Okay, right, now it's just a jumble.
Will come the atom.
Okay, wait, listen.
We've got to atone for all that we have done wrong.
What about the note, though?
When you atone,
the note,
if
the
you take the T and couple it with the A and hyphenate it, you get at one.
What
so when you tone,
why do I have to hyphenate it?
You become at one.
It's two different words.
At one
hyphenated.
With who? The aton.
All right, we're out of time.
Or the one God.
We really do
because
have.
Because you heard the A tone.
Oh, my God.
When you get at one, you get the next two letters.
Wait.
It is M E.
Okay. We're going to have to stop it right. We're going to stop it right
for the whole word at that rate.
Wow.
That's how he spent his moment in the sun right there. So happy birthday, Minister Farrakhan. Good times. Thank you very much, Ralph. All right, tomorrow, all new Kevin and Bean show. Looking forward to it. Spencer Pratt, he crazy.
Yeah.
He's gone down this. He's got anger management issues, of course. We're talking about the kid from the hills. Now he's very deep into the crystals, and he thinks the crystals are going to bring him back, and he's going to be fine with the crystals.
She's so also, fine? They think she's so fine?
No, these are different kinds of crystals. Also, we hope to catch up with our friend Johnny Knoxville tomorrow. He's one of the producers on The Dudesons, the awesome new reality show on MTV.
Yes, it's good to be doing things to each other.
My friend Yarpie, I think tomorrow we will be unveiling Dewan A. Johnson of Los Angeles, California's new eHarmony dating tape. You know, he's looking for a fine Christian woman.
That's right.
So we're going to see what he has to offer. Maybe there'll be some follow-up on the Sean Connery story Ralph gave you this morning. And what's up with the Maxim 100 bogus list of the top 100 hottest chicks in the world? What is up with that?
Yeah,
I think we've got an editor on to explain it all tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Don't go away. Kat Corbett's coming up next. She not only has continuous details on the K-Rock Weenie Roast, which is happening June 5th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, and she'll give you all the details on how you can buy your tickets. She'll also be playing 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music. Why would you ever want to go anywhere else when you know you've got the Dirty Heads coming up? Also, Smashing Pumpkins, Bad Religion, Bob Marley, and more coming up after this on K-Rock.